Blog Talk Radio.
MCMI Radio. We're going to be talking about a lot of battles that happened that were released over the last couple of days. Iron Solomon, Murder Mook, Slave Shovel. Nine. Let's get it cracking. We got our first guest in the building, Dutch Vega, for our MCMI World Battle Report.
MCMI.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are speaking with the illustrious Dutch Vega in that place. What's good, Dutch?
Salutations. Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah. Yeah, this is online radio. Whatever the fuck you feel.
Word up. Use my usual salutations, motherfuckers.
So this is our segment called the MCMI World Battle Report. Every week we talk with someone who's in the battle game, whether they're a promoter, an artist, you know, a battler. And you're actually all three at different times. So for those who don't know of legendary Dutch Vega, if you follow battling, I'm sure you know if you're listening right now. But for those that don't, you know, tell them a little bit about yourself. First of all, what's up with the name? Is that, like, basically you're a weed head? You get zooted?
Yeah, I mean,
are you from Holland?
Nah, a lot of people got that confused. Even when I was battling, some people thought that I actually was, like, using the name Vega from Street Fighter. And I'm like, no, man, can't you obviously tell? You must not be a smoker. Dutch Masters and Garcia Vegas, baby. You know, I used to always, when I was a kid coming up, New York, you don't name yourself as a rapper. You get named by your homies. And coming up, I always, if I didn't have weed, I always at least had a Dutch. So niggas always just called me Dutch. And then from that, you know, I just added the Vega because Garcia Vega was the other thing that I fucked with, you know. So, and the name Dutch Vega got born from that.
Sounds good. So basically, if you mess with Dutch Vega, good chance you might get lifted off the music. You know, off the creativity, you know.
Definitely.
And if he's around, he's going to be hitting you up. Yo, I got five on it. What's good? I got the Dutch.
Yeah, I got it rolled and ready. You want to smoke?
Oh, no doubt. So you made a name for yourself battling, but, of course, you also do music. But why don't we tell the listeners some of your, you know, more noteworthy battles? Like, what are some of your dopest battles that you would want someone to research and watch on YouTube?
Yeah, the stuff that I'm known for is a lot of, I mean, I battled on Grind Time. So, you know, obviously, you know, I was battling before that. You know, I was battling at Fight Club back in the days, and I battled in the streets, you know, like all of us did in New York City coming up. And I battled on Grind Time, and those were the really popular ones. You know, I had one that went up on World Star with me versus Knowledge Medina, Dutch Vega versus Knowledge Medina. Had a few other really good battles. Battle Dutch Vega versus Myers Lansky. I have extensive list. You type in Dutch Vega versus, and, you know, you'll come across a few. You know, I did a few tag teams with my brother Jess James, and we battled Ashwin and Yesh. And, you know, there's quite a few battles out there of me. But now I'm not really, you know, battling as much because, you know, it's, you know, I fell back from that so that I could help the movement grow even further, you know,
right,
with hosting the battles in the league.
Right. And speaking of that, you were hosting, and I think you started this, it's your league, correct me if I'm wrong, the Draft League. You did that for a while? Tell us about that. What was the Draft League?
The Draft League was born out of a need for Grind Time East Coast. You know, we were running Grind Time East Coast. PH was running Grind Time East Coast. And we didn't have a tryout league anymore. So I came to him. You know, he's president at the time, and Poison Pen was vice president. And Sarah Connor was, you know what I mean, like the capo at the time. I came to him with an idea where I was like, you know, I think it'd be really dope if, like, you know, Poison Pen and Sarah Connor, you know, would, you know, have their own, you know, tryout league, you know, that they run, you know. And I came to him with everything ready. Like, I came to him with a name, with a logo. You know, I'm the type that I'm not going to come at you with nothing, you know, with just an idea. You know, it's going to be, look, I already did all the legwork. What do you think? Do you think this would be dope? And he was like, yeah, I think it's great. And he was like, it's not just going to be Sarah Connor. It's going to be Sarah Connor, you, and Soul Con. And I was like, all right, fuck it. You know, like, I was doing it. You know, I came up with the idea to, you know, get some more shine to, you know, them. But, like, I was thrown in the middle of the mix. He thought that I, you know, was already doing a lot, helping out in the East Coast division. So he was like, you know, take care of that. Then the move happened, and he, you know, stepped down from his position. Poison Pen became president. Sarah Connor became vice president. I became the capo, and it kind of became like Sarah couldn't, you know, be doing both things at the same time. So I just, you know, took over the draft league and kept it running, you know, all this time for, you know, Grind Time East Coast. And then we switched it over to Poison Pen TV. And now that we switched it over to Poison Pen TV, actually, we're going to start something new.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's in the works.
So who are some MCs that came through the draft league and did well and then moved on and actually battled and stuff? You know?
Who are some guys, man, from our first... Our first event actually had quite a few, like, legendary cats battle at the first event. Like, we had Just Days battle Paranormal, and Just Days is now, you know, really well known. He's gone on to battle at Poison Pen TV and now he's about to battle at KOTD, besides having had battled in Grind Time.
Didn't he battle on television, too? He was on television.
Yeah, he was on television with Jimmy Fallon, you know. And
Jimmy
he was
Fallon Show.
The Ron Calisthenics at the Brooklyn Hip Hop Fest. Yeah, man, Dave gets it in. You know, he's like all over the place. He even did a couple of shows with Immortal Technique and them out on the road.
Nice.
But, yeah, he came
So he got his start in the draft league. So that's good because, you know, back in the days we used to rhyme at open mics, MCs, because no one would book you if you never did a show before, so they never saw you. So how do I know if you're whack or if you can rock the crowd or if you need more practice or whatever? So you would go to an open mic. But if you killed it and tore it down, now had footage of your show, or maybe the promoter of that open mic will see you and be like, oh, I'm going to headline you for the next one, you know.
Battling,
you know, how do they can't just kick a rhyme because that's not what battling is. You got to go against somebody. So those tryouts are important. You know, you got to actually show people, like, you need to put me in your league. I'm no joke, you know. It's just like,
yeah, no, absolutely. That's how it's gone. So that's how – and. That's why I kind of like that. I really love doing that. You know, like I do it for the culture and for, you know, to put on for the, you know, New York City, period, you know. And it's just to help give an opportunity to the next generation of cats coming up to have a platform, to have a place where they can develop those skills necessary for them to take themselves to the next step in their careers. And, yeah, like, I've done that for a lot of guys, and it feels good, you know? Like, it feels good to have helped out, you know, people's careers and, you know, help birth some careers and, you know, like, it's really cool, you know? And, like, Days isn't the only one. Days came through the first event. P-Stax, a member of Team Hami, battled at the first event. Uno Lavos, who's pretty popular in the battle world, he battled at our first event. We had a lot of people, Paranormal Ezak, Scream from Team Hami also battled at our first event. And
no doubt.
That battle
went up on.
He's
making noise too now, yeah.
Yeah, Scream is making noise, yeah, man. They all have gone on to, like, battle at other places. Like, you know, Uno Lavos has gone on to battle just about everywhere. I think we all know that, you know. Guys like Scream, they're starting to go battle in places like KOTD, you know, Ultimate Warrior League, like everywhere. So these guys are all getting opportunities. Paranormal Ezak just finished battling Sid Vicious at iBattle League. So they all got their start with the draft, but, like, they've, you know, expanded upon their careers through the experience that they got at the draft, you know. And it's great, right. You know. We've had a lot of popular people battle, you know. You just check out. There's too many for me to list that, you know, got their start with us. You could just check it all out at youtube.com/TheDraftLeague. That's the correct spelling for those three words.
When people watch his videos, just so you can get a visual and understand who we're talking to right now, if you don't know the man, Dutch Vega is hosting those draft leagues joints. And when I first met you, you had a beard. You had a beard like mine. Like, you know, you put number 4 on the Norelco or whatever. You know, it was a nice fade. But then now, like, every time I saw you, it was getting longer and longer, and you have a gigantic terrorist beard now that you would get profiled in the airport.
And I did get profiled at an airport. I was was on my way to fly to Charlotte for a wife, for a thing, you know, family wedding, and also for a little show on the side. And you know, everybody's online to get their ticket checked before they head into the security check. And, you know, the guy's just checking and telling everybody to have their ID out and their ticket out. And everybody's just coming, giving them their ID and their ticket. And, you know, he just circles something on the ticket, gives it back to them. They keep going. No talking. He didn't talk to nobody. He didn't talk to none of the 30 people that were online in front of me. He didn't say anything to anybody. But when my wife gets, you know, in front of me, she goes, he, you know, circles her information. Okay, here goes your ticket. You go on. When I get to him, he's like, he looks at my ID and he looks at me. He says, "Can you say your name for me, please?"
Wow.
He's like, "Not this guy." Racial profiling.
You didn't tell him, you didn't say Al Qaeda Vega, right? Because that was your new handle right now. Your nickname is Al Qaeda Vega.
Yeah, I looked at him stupid, like, really? And he just was like, you know, whatever. And I just left it be and just fucking snatched my fucking ticket from him and kept it moving. You know, I was like, this fucking asshole.
Did you get that tag Al Qaeda Vega from incidents like that, or were people saying that about you because of the beard? You know, and why did you want to start growing your beard that long? Like, is it a religious thing or a style, or, you know, what's the whole science behind that?
It's funny, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, like you said, you know, I always had my beard to a certain, you know, trim, and it was because, like, most of us, you know, our beard, after it gets a certain length, it gets a little itchy, you know? And when it gets itchy, we all trim it back down, you know, with the 3 or the 4, take it, yeah, keep it to where we want to. And I was just like one night at home with the wife, and I was like, you know what? I feel like I want to try getting past this itch. And she was like, give it a shot. And I started growing it, and it kept on growing, it kept on growing, and it got out of control. And as it kept on growing, everybody kept on saying how I looked so different. You know, my previous album was Dutch Vega Presents the Adventures of Super Spit. And I was, you know, just polarizing a character of growing up in New York City as a, you know, Latin kid. And, you know, then when I grew the beard out, everybody's just like, you know, "Oh, Dutch, you look Muslim, you look like a terrorist. You look like, you know," and I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to call myself PR terrorist because, well, there's already one of those, isn't there? You know, and so I was just like, you know, I had already been called Dutch in Sonetica online in a battle beforehand, and I had used it as an alias, and I was just like, you know, to expound on it even more, like, you know, since everybody's calling me, I'm not going to call myself, you know, that, you know, terrorist boy or spick terrorist or, you know, but I, you know, somebody called me Al Qaeda Vega, and I was just like, hell yeah, I'm going to run with that. Like, Al Qaeda Vega all day. Actually, in the middle of running Al Qaeda Vega.
It has a ring to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it does, you know. Some people, you know, questioned, like, oh, you know, that's Jada's moniker. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm just paying respects to God. You know what I'm saying? Like, what I came up listening to. And at the same time, like, let's be honest, I look more Al Qaeda than Jada, you know?
And no one's going to mistake y'all.
Dutch totally
Vega
different.
And Jada,
totally
they're totally
different.
Totally
different things, man, you know? But, so I just was like, you know what? I was in the middle of creating this new album, and it just fueled, you know, energy for the album, and it was just that, you know? And I actually have a track on the album, like you say, was it for religious purposes? And it wasn't, because I'm not really religious. I have plenty of Muslim friends, you know, so I respect it. But, like, you know, it's not for religious purposes, but I have a song on my upcoming album called Me Sunnah, which is, Sunnah is when Islamic Muslims grow their beard and they walk the path of Muhammad. And, you know, that's usually when they grow their beard and they try to, you know, like I said, walk the path of Muhammad. And so I have a song on the album called Me Sunnah where I explain all the bullshit racism that I've dealt with just by growing a beard and like how much more I respect them for the shit that they got to go through because of it. And I called it me sooner because, well, I'm Spanish and I'm not really, this isn't like a sooner that I'm actually doing, but this is my walk, you know, this is my task. So, yeah, it's not for religious purposes, but, you know, I just, you know, worked it in there. And
paying respects, no doubt. It's just, you know, so people know, like, the whole thing with the beard, it's not really a terrorist thing. That's a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
It's a religious
mm-hmm.
thing. It's righteousness. Muslims
mm-hmm.
grow their beards. Jews grow their beards. Rastafarians
mm-hmm.
grow their beards. You know, they, like, when people are righteous, they have... It's a righteous thing. It's a spiritual quest.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a,
mm-hmm.
some terrorist shit. But,
mm-hmm.
But not to get too serious, let's get to
yeah.
some of your music. We're going to talk about battles in another 5 minutes because there's some
mm-hmm.
major, major battles that just dropped.
Yeah, exactly.
Battles happened like a month ago, but they just hit the internet like Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
Thursday, Friday. And, is something coming out, come out today? I'm not even sure, but
yeah,
the last couple of days.
So,
you know, Murder Mook, Lux, Slave
mm-hmm.
Sever, there's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk about this in a minute. Before we get into your take on these battles, and I do consider you, you know, an expert, someone I can talk to that knows a lot more about these battles than me, because while I am a fan and I've been watching it and following it, and of course, you know, I helped PH with whatever he needed when he was running Grind Time East Coast, but I'm not a battler myself, and I didn't promote any battles. I'm not in it like that. So
yeah.
I do respect your thoughts on these battles. But
absolutely.
You've been doing music. Besides battling, and you've been focused on that for a while. I think that's why you fell back a little from the battling yourself.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's always been like that. I've been doing my music since before the battling, and, you know, it's always, you know. I
was
going to
ask you that. Did you do music first, or did you battle and then get into music? So you were already doing music before you even entered battling.
In professional battling, modern era battling, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, like I said, if you're a real New York, you know, MC, true to the core, and you came up in these streets the way that you're supposed to, you know, in the hip-hop game, then you always end up battling, period. Like, that's one of the first things that you do, because you start writing down bars, somebody somewhere tests you, and you use some of those bars, and you freestyle the rest of it, and that's how history gets made, you know?
Right.
But I was definitely always writing music. Like, it was a music thing. Like, you know, we come up listening to legends, and, you know, like, it was always about the music, you know, like battling is secondary. That's just second nature as an MC. It's one of the tools that every MC should have besides being, you know, making music, being able to perform and control a crowd, being able to freestyle. And every MC should be able to battle. You're supposed to battle, you know, you're supposed to be able to handle yourself against another MC, you know, in a battle of words. So, yeah, I was doing music way before and, you know, doing it during, and now, you know, I'm concentrating a little bit more on my music, period, yeah.
Can you tell the folks out there some songs they can listen to get a feel for your music, like your SoundCloud or website or anything that they can go check out some of your past work?
Absolutely. You can see, I have all my albums available for download for off of zip files at my website, which is DutchVega.com, www.DutchVega.com. And you can always check out my SoundCloud at SoundCloud.com/DutchVega. And that's all spelled correctly, DutchVega. You can even at DutchVega.bandcamp.com. I'm on, you know, those three websites, and all my stuff is up there. Everybody can hear the latest stuff.
You can actually download in entirety your previous albums, like on the
My previous albums, Adventures
that's
of
for
Super
free
Strict.
Or that's a purchase?
That's for free. That's a free download that they're
okay.
all up there available for. I usually just sell my physicals in person. I just give it away free to the internet. The website is DutchVega.com, and you could just pick up, like, you know, the first album, Adventures of Super Spick. And I dropped a mixtape with my brother, Jess James, under our duo group called Bionic Ninjas, and it's called Grease Monkey Radio. And I dropped another album called Renaissance Man around 420 of this year. So that's available there, too. And if you go to my SoundCloud, you'll hear or if you go to my YouTube, which is youtube.com/TheDutchVegaShow, all spelled correctly once again, you'll come across my music videos, and you'll see, like, the music videos for my latest stuff, which is for the Al-Qaeda Vega Dutch Internetica album that I'm dropping, and the latest video that I dropped was for the lead single, which is called Al-Qaeda Vega. And okay. You could check all that stuff out there at my YouTube, and, you know, hopefully people enjoy. I worked hard on it.
Cool. So tell us about your new album. What's the project you're working on that hasn't dropped yet? And what's that called?
It's called Dutch Internetica, Al-Qaeda Vega. And, you know, it's a conceptual project. A lot of my projects tend to be conceptual or, you know, tied around a certain feeling. I've always been really adamant about, you know, topical music besides, you know, just actual good music, you know. I like doing conceptual songs and, you know, delving into characters and things like that. And that's what this is. The Dutch Internetica represents kind of like my online internet persona. So half of the album sounds like, you know, some experimental, you know, techno and dubstep sounds and, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, Dutch Internetica, and it's leading behind that, you know, like my Dutch Vega online personality. And then Al-Qaeda Vega is kind of like, you know, that whole, you know, behind this whole concept and idea behind this, you know, terrorist, online terrorism. You know, I have a song on there called Internet Taliban, which is my brother Eddie Hispanic song, and we redid it for that, for this project. And, you know, it's just themed around these two characters, you know, which are basically just, one, my online personality, and then two, this personality that I, you know, started becoming when I grew this beard, where, you know, it's like, fuck it, you know, I'm going jihad on all my haters, you know. So you know, it's a really cool project, and I put a lot of work into it. I've been working on it for pretty much since I dropped the Renaissance Man on 420, and it'll be out, available at dutchvega.com and my SoundCloud on October 31st, Halloween of this year.
Nice, that's what it is, okay. So I'm gonna hit you with some verses, not lines, but some verses this time, and I want you to just give me like your thoughts and opinions. You've seen these battles. What was good about it? What was bad about it? Do you agree with the decision? If some of them there were no decisions, but you know, what do you think of what people are saying in the streets? People are saying online on the YouTube comments and all that. So the first one I'm gonna ask you is Iron Solomon versus Murder Mook. It just went down a few weeks ago, and it was aired, was it Thursday or Wednesday? Wednesday it was aired. When the video dropped at 3 p.m., I checked the video at 8 p.m., it had 560,000 views on YouTube. WorldStar had already jacked it, and they had their own hundreds of thousands of views that don't even count to that numbers. This battle is huge. Yeah. Diddy was there. Lloyd Banks, Q-Tip, Busta Rhymes, Cassidy, all these, you know, big mainstream artists came as fans to check out this battle because they're really into the scene. Not only this one, but other battles that night. But this was a major one. Tell me your thoughts.
All right. Well, the battle itself, a lot of people are not going to be aware of the background stuff. You know, that battle was the last battle of the day. And that battle happened at about 11 p.m., which is later than I believe they expected it to happen. That battle happened at 11 p.m. The people had been standing online since 12 p.m. So you had a crowd of a couple thousand, you know, hardcore battle rap fans from all over the world, really, because it's not just New York. People traveled in from all over the world, took flights just to come here for this event.
It was packed.
Yeah, it was packed.
It was at Webster Hall, for those that don't know.
Yeah, Webster Hall, and people just got tired, you know, man? Like, the crowd was tired, and they started, you know, I heard that they were booing the whole event, you know? Like, people got booed for no reason. So, you know, it was kind of a harsh crowd, and they were at the end of their wits. They were at the end of the night, and, you know, it was a tired crowd, so they didn't give a great reception to Iron Solomon. And Mook, I guess you could say, arguably won that. But it's one of those battles where, I mean, in my honest opinion, I don't think that there's really any winners in that battle because it just wasn't, you know, up to par. I think everybody expected a lot more from both parties involved, if you ask me. You know, it was a good battle, though, you know. I mean, well, really, you know, if we're going to be honest, and, you know, I'm known for being honest asshole. You know, like, honestly, it wasn't a good look. Like, I mean, you know, the battle, I literally watched it as soon as it came out. And while I was watching it on YouTube, I saw the likes. I got there, and it was 40 likes, 2 dislikes. And there was a comment saying, look, the haters are already disliking. Everybody make sure to like button it. This battle's an hour long. By the time I got to about the second, third round, the battle had, like, maybe 500 likes and, like, maybe 10 dislikes. And then between me getting to the third round to the end of the battle, I saw, because if you see it on YouTube, you can see the numbers go up as it's happening. Like, it'll, you know, the numbers of dislikes and likes, they'll show it. And the battle literally went from having 20 dislikes to having about 700 dislikes in, like, the matter of me watching from the third round to the fifth round. You know, so that tells you how the public feels. You know, the public is always going to tell you the truth and what it is. And, you know, the public does not, they're not happy with this battle. They don't think very highly of it. I mean, I'm always telling people, man, like, long battles like that are not a good look. I mean, Disaster versus DNA was another battle that was about an hour long. And, you know, it just like this Murder Mook versus Iron Solomon battle, I watched that Disaster versus DNA battle one time. And that's it. I'm never going to watch it again because it's an hour long. I don't have an hour of my time to just give to a battle like that to watch it over and over. Like, nah, you know, and especially if it's not, you know, like I said, the dislikes on the battle say what it is. And, you know, for me, there's not much replay value.
And you don't feel that either of them really did what you were hoping, like lived up to the expectations.
Because
both of these cats are legends, and this is supposed to be the legends battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mook's whole thing was he was trying to say, well, both of them were doing that. They were both going at each other saying, you're not breaking down each other's record and who they battled to get this far and saying reasons why they shouldn't really be considered a legend.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that was
and
a tactic that they both used. I felt that Iron Solomon's microphone was not mic'd correctly because for some reason when he would
– audio
when,
that.
When Mook rhymed, he was very loud, and some people in the comments I was reading were saying, oh, his voice was stronger. I don't think that's it. Because Solomon's voice was loud when he was facing Mook, when they were standing facing each other. When he turned away or walked away from Mook, or Mook turned around, all of a sudden I couldn't hear Iron Solomon. It's like his mic went out. So I don't think his mic was working. I think his voice was picking up on Mook's mic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can only hear the parts when they were close together. It was really annoying.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was definitely messed up, the audio, and it's unfortunate. You know, once again, this is a battle that we expected a lot from. So, you know, when you have a lot of expectations, it gives a lot of room for a lot of letdown, you know, and disappointment.
Right.
So, and I think that's one of the things that
So people are going to watch this battle anyway because they got to find out what we're talking about and what's the hype.
Yeah.
But we're just letting you know, it's not the best battle of that night, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in my opinion, the best battle of that. Well, I haven't seen all the battles, so I can't really say of the
so
night.
Far.
But between that and a few others I saw, Loaded Lux versus Calico was a phenomenal battle. What do you think about that battle?
Oh, you know, it's funny because initially I had my own mixed feelings about it, but, like, you know, seeing the impact that that battle is having on the culture is just amazing. You know, Loaded Lux, he definitely put on a great performance. Calico did really good, too. People are discounting Calico and just, you know, like, whatever. Like, he did nothing. But I actually think he did good. You know, he did his whole 3 rounds, and he had lines, and they were good. It's just that Loaded Lux, you know, there was a lot of anticipation for him, and he lived up to it. You know, he hyped it up. He, you know, he turned it into a whole different thing, too. You know, nobody in battle rap has ever, like, shown up. He showed up. He made it a show. You know, he showed his showmanship. He showed up with a hearse. He showed up with a hearse that had a casket. in it, you know, and
yeah,
women
dressed in black gear.
Yeah, there was a widow crying, you know, for Calico, and he had, you know, the templates that you have. Yeah, roses, black roses, and that's production value, you know, and you know you gotta appreciate that. I've actually heard people say, you know, there's also controversy because he threw something up on the jumbo screen that they had at the venue, and people are complaining, not fair, smack is looking out for him.
He did the Jay-Z Nas move. He threw
Yeah, he did the Jay-Z Nas move. And you know,
don't give it away what it is, but it's really,
yeah, no,
it's,
you know,
crazy. You guys go watch the shit.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, like, look, man, you got to cater to your artist. If Loaded Lux was smart enough to ask Smack to, you know, can you do me a favor and put this up on something? Like, if I'm the guy paying you, yeah, like, I'm going to, if Calico would have probably came to him with the same thing, he probably would have done the same exact thing for him.
Yep.
Because you're looking to accommodate your artist and what it is that they would like to, this picture they like to paint for the public, you know?
Right.
So it was a really good battle. And he showed a lot of showmanship. And, I mean, it speaks for itself because now, you know, him and Arsenal were on the Sway in the morning show freestyling, mm-hmm. and that's an awesome look, you know, for them. And, you know, you got Jay-Z tweeting quotables from his part of the battle. Lupe
right.
Fiasco's tweeting, you know, Lupe Fiasco's tweeting about how great Loaded Lux is. You know, Jim Jones is. Everybody's tweeting about.
I feel like he did. Like, you hit it on the head when you said he changed, like, the nature of battle rapping with that move. Not because of the props, people. It's not the props. It's the storyline that he built. He had those props, but besides the props, what really made it come off was his flow and his delivery and how he portrayed his character in his verse. He was he had a three-piece suit on. He was rapping in the gear of, like, a preacher you know, an older god preaching to a younger kid and trying to school him on the knowledge and trying to speak to him. You know, at one point he kind of switched. I wasn't sure, but it seemed like he was trying to insinuate he was his stepfather. You know what I mean?
No.
It was crazy. You could read into it also symbolism.
He did a bunch of schemes that were really awesome. And, you know, like the wordplay was top notch.
And the delivery was good. And he delivered very casual. He said the most intricate.
The with his hands in his pocket, cool, standing up there, cool, looking like an OG that just nothing's phasing him. You know what I'm saying? Like anything.
And Calico was spitting in his face too. Was getting up and kicking some gangster, some street bars. Like, and Calico's bigger than him physically, and he was like really forceful of delivering his rhymes, and Lux was not like trying to act hard and I don't care, I'm tough. He just was relaxed, like, whatever, I'm OG. Like, it couldn't touch him. And in a lot of battles, that's what wins for the winner, because when the other guy is spitting, you're so cool and collected, like it doesn't even matter that people kind of take away points from the other guy, like, oh, he ain't saying nothing, he's not even getting under his skin, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely. With running the draft league, I always tell people, like, I looked at it not so much as I'm a boss, but I'm a leader, you know. And as a leader, I felt like I was kind of a coach to a lot of these guys coming up. And as a coach, you know, you help people out. And I always used to tell battle rappers, like, listen, man, what you want to do is never get – don't look as if though you're frazzled when other guys going. Like, you got to look like that shit don't faze you. Like, you know, this shit don't – everything you're saying right now to me, that shit don't faze me one bit, B. Like, that shit is just nothing. Everything that you're saying is that shit. In one ear, out the other, B. You're trash. Like, and that's the attitude you want to give people, that, you know, like, that this guy is trash. So nothing that he's saying is, like, even mattering to me. You don't want to look aggravated or angry because, you know, the people, the fans, they don't like that also, you know. I always compare battle rapping to kind of like MMA and boxing, you know, where it's like, you know, you don't want to fight. You want to fight fair. Don't fight dirty, you know. And, you know, talking during people's rounds and, you know, overreacting and getting upset at the things that are being said to you, that's not fighting fair, you know. Like, that's fighting dirty. It's corny, you know. Like, nobody wants to hear you talking during somebody else's rounds, you know. You're showing disrespect not only to the battler that you're battling, but now you're showing disrespect to
the audience,
the people who set up the battle, to the audience who actually wants to hear what the other person's saying, and to even your fans. You know, your fans don't want you to act like that. Your fans don't want you to look like a cornball, you know. So it's definitely you don't want to do that. And he, Loaded Lux, definitely did not. He was calm, collected, cool, and he just seemed like, you know, he was, and he did it, you know, and it was a great, great battle. That's an awesome battle. Definitely, you're right. I would suggest to the people, you know, as soon as you're done with the Mook and Solomon, you know, if you feel, you know, kind of like what we were saying, well, you know, you might enjoy the battle. We might, you know, be telling you, you know, we didn't enjoy it, and
word,
you might enjoy it.
This
so,
is just,
you know,
two dudes' opinions right now.
Yeah, exactly,
word,
exactly. You might enjoy it, but, you know, if you don't, afterwards, make sure you hit up that Loaded Lux Calico battle, because that one was really good. The people really love it a lot, and you know, there's a lot of, you're gonna enjoy that battle. You're gonna enjoy that battle for sure, for sure.
Okay, one more. Swave Seva versus Shotgun Shug. Why is that a hot battle to watch right now?
That's a great battle to watch, man. I was live in person for that. I actually haven't gotten to see the footage, but everybody's telling me that the footage looks spectacular. Poison Pen TV events always go down, you know, without a flaw, and everything's perfect, and the footage looks amazing. But in person, like, I could just tell you, like, the battle itself was really good. Shotgun Shug is somebody who a lot of people try to, you know, downplay, you know, how, you know, good he is. He's really good, you know. He, like, people were saying, I saw some people saying, oh, it's New York bias, they're not fucking with Shug. And I'm like, you're bugging. That crowd was reacting to everything Shug was saying, you know?
Shug,
like,
got his bars off. I was feeling,
yeah,
I think it was round one, because I was in the house too. And there was a round where I was like, oh, yeah, wow. You know, because I respect Swave Seva, and I ain't never seen nobody really hit him that hard. You know, I've watched Swave slaughter people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But Shug, early on in the battle, he came off strong, so it was a good, you know, matchup.
It's a great battle. I think, actually, you know, this is one of those situations that where there's a perfect third battle to end the battle conversation that we're having, because I was just telling people, you know, there's three different types of battles that pretty much happen, which is like, you know, a one-sided slaughter, a kind of, you know, like one guy obviously kind of beat a guy, you know. And that's what you have with those two first battles, you know, with the Mook and Solomon, and then with Loaded Lux and Cali, you know what I'm saying? But with Swave and Shug, what you get is a battle where two guys went 12 rounds. They went the distance. They fought it out, and it was a really good battle. And those are the battles that I really like. I don't want to see somebody get pummeled on for, you know, three rounds. I don't want to see
same as boxing or MMA.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. You
want to
see these guys fight, man. Don't just take a beat and, like, fight. So, and this battle was one of those battles that it was a fight. Like, Shug that did not, like, get, like, it wasn't like, you know, Shug just, you know, got steamrolled by Swave. Like, he put off a fight, and Swave, as always puts on, and he always does spectacular. Like, Swave is one of those guys who, you know, you can pretty much say that he's never had a bad performance. You know, like, he always goes out there and puts on, you know.
Some people have told me that they feel that, I mean, a lot of people have said that Disaster killed Swave when they had their battle. I was at that battle, too. I thought Swave killed Disaster. People argue about that. But whether or not you think he won or lost, that was one of Swave Seva's best performances ever. And it was one of his best performances ever.
Absolutely.
For both
absolutely
of them, I think they both made each other rise up.
Once
every time
again,
Swave,
a classic. It's a classic because you had two good, you know, you could watch both people's rounds. You don't want a battle where you're like, oh, man, I can't wait for this guy to finish. You want to, so that he could go to the, so I could see this other guy who's doing really good. No, you want to see a battle that you're like, oh, my God, he just said this. And then the other guy comes in the next round. You're like, holy shit, he just said some shit back. And it's back and forth and back and forth. And you're just like, that's the essence of really good battles. And this Swave Seva versus Shotgun Shug is one of those battles. All three of these battles, by the way, you can go and check them out online at youtube.com/theurltv. That's theurltv. And you can watch literally all three of these battles are the last three battles that they dropped on that channel. And hopefully you'll enjoy them.
Well, look, to end it off about that battle, one thing that I was really looking forward to is in some of Swave Seva's battles, you know, and in the past, he's been known for bragging about knocking people out. He has a song, Poison Pen, you know, The Face Breaker. He likes to rap about fighting, and he likes to fight, honestly.
Yeah, no, he does. He
will fight. He doesn't back down from a fight, you know. And, you know, he has mixtapes where he talks about martial arts stuff in his rhymes. But besides that, he's just a street dude. Even though he got the nerd glasses, he knows that. He puts that on. That's like his White Man Can't Jump, like that little
that's
funny
his,
hat
that,
that dude used to
that
wear
Clark.
So they would think he's the chump. He puts on those nerd glasses.
I call that
but,
Clark Kent. So that's him
yeah, exactly.
trying to be human. That's him trying
and he transformed.
To be human. That's him
right.
trying to, like, give you a weakness, you know, trying to show some sort of humanity, you know, but... Yeah,
but no, it just
day,
means
so
I can
Superman.
See, motherfucker. I can see,
yeah, exactly.
and I can read. You know? But but a lot of times I've seen him go against opponents his size or smaller, and so when he says like I'll knock your head off or whatever, you believe him because he looks he's strong,
yeah.
he's a big dude, and he looks like he'll knock the crap out of dude.
Mm-hmm.
And if a little guy say that to him, you'd be like, okay, it was a dope line, but we don't believe
I don't
you
believe
anymore,
you.
People.
Exactly.
Shotgun Shug, however. Is huge. He's way
yeah.
bigger than Swave Sever. So there wasn't going to be any kind of intimidation getting up in his face, backing him down across the stage or anything like
and
that.
And I was right
so
there.
I wanted to know, what
really,
is Swave going
was,
to do now? How is he going
it was
to
really
approach
heated.
This?
It was really
you know
heated.
What I mean?
And they still got, both of them got in each other's faces. I was right there watching the entire thing, you know, and they both were not backing down, and both of them were getting in each other's faces during their rounds, you know, and
right.
That's part of what made it even better, you know? Like,
that's part of the drama.
Shit, like, yeah, like, yo, finally some dude that's going to stand up to Swave and be like, nah, I ain't going to be punk, you know what I'm saying? And Swave standing there and being like, nah, I'm going to punk you, motherfucker, you know? So it's dope. It's a good battle, man. It's a really good battle. It's a classic, for sure. Swave's already put on two classics this year, you know, him versus Shotgun Shug and the Head Ice battle. I'm pretty sure he's got a few more body bags that he's going to, you know,
put
out. Yeah.
The Head Ice battle was another one where they're both from Harlem. They're both street.
Mm-hmm.
They're both older. I think Head Ice is way older than Swave, but people crack
mm-hmm.
jokes on Swave and call him old man sometimes.
Yeah.
And they're both street, you know, and they're both, like, they talk about a lot of tough guy stuff. Head Ice is also the same way, always, you know,
mm-hmm.
trying to strong arm people. So it was like, okay, you guys are about the same height, let's go. You know, now talk shit now. Now say something creative because you're not going to get over on just, you know, I'll smack you because we don't care. You'll both smack each other, we know. But
yeah,
now
exactly.
you got to really have bars now, and they both
yeah.
do. So that was another
yeah.
great battle. So let me end it like this. What's your opinion? Because people always talk about this. Bars versus jokes, both, or some other shit?
Bars versus jokes. I'm always one that subscribes to the mentality that any great MC does everything and anything. There is no such thing as like one thing over the other. Like it is literally like there's a battler from Don't Flop named O'Shea. He said something really good. Like I forgot how he said it, but he said something in one of his bars where he's like, you know, you say these jokes, but no, it's really just like the truth with a twist of comedy. Like, you know, and that's
right.
what really good jokes are. You know, comedians have always said, you know, the best comedy is the truth, you know, like the funniest things in the world are the truth. So how can you say that, you know, even if it's funny, even if it's a joke, if it's true, then that's truth. That's real life smacking you in the face. It just so happens that everybody else is going to be laughing while you're getting smacked with that joke and that truth. But, you know, it's still a fucking bar, you know? So I'm one of the people that subscribes to the mentality that it's about everything. It's about, you know, your performance. It's about, you know, your projection. It's about your, you know, your inflection, your swag, your delivery. It's about your bars, and it's about, you know, having, you know, stuff that people react to, whether it be the ooh and ah stuff or it's the ha-ha-ha stuff, you know? So I subscribe to the mentality that both.
You heard it from the man himself, Dutch Vega. This has been the MCMI World Battle Report. We're going to try to come to you every week or two with some more talk about the battle scene. If you want to call us up, the phone number is 646-478-3599. We got Homeboy Sandman on the way. We're definitely going to have a good conversation with him. But this is MCMI Radio, Real Hip Hop, Real Talk. Yo, Dutch Vega, let them know what your Twitter is so they can get at you, and let's go into some music. And I'm going to play one of your joints, so you let me know what I should rock, and we'll get into that. But what's your Twitter?
You could get in touch with me on twitter.com/DutchVega, and on Facebook, it's facebook.com/DutchVegaBX, and facebook.com/DutchVegaLive. That's my, like, regular, you know, profile, and then the other one's my artist profile. You could follow me on Twitter, and I follow back. Just holler at me. Talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm always one of the people that talks to the people. I have not one of those egotistical dudes. I talk to everybody. It's all love.
Good to know. So we're going to go out with one of your joints. You want us to rock one of your old joints, something new that's coming out?
Actually, the new single for the Al-Qaeda Vega, Dutch in Connecticut, you can rock with the Al-Qaeda Vega single. That's what's up.
Al-Qaeda Vega, produced by?
Produced by Gestramentals.
So we're going to get into that. MCMI Radio, Real Hip Hop, Real Talk.
Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You don't like me, fuck you. 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 I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You know who it is, Al-Qaeda Vega. BX representative, boogie down delegate. Turn my shit off if you're soft and you're delicate. I don't got no etiquette, I am a degenerate. I've been known to hang me some Confederates. I'm killing all my haters, they hating on a Vega. All you hearing, who's Dutch Vega? I heard a Dutch Vega, Al-Qaeda Vega. Everywhere you go, it's Vega, Vega, Vega. There is no controlling it, there is no escaping it. Not when everybody that you know is fucking saying it. I'm all up in your face, and I love the fucking hate, and the love is fucking great, and I'm loving all the praise, but the haters, they are hating me. I accept it graciously, but this time I address them all blatantly. The reason that you hate me is cause you ain't me. You can't be, I work too hard, you are too lazy.
Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You don't like me, fuck you. 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 I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You know who it is, Al-Qaeda Vega.
Hating ass haters, hating on a Vega. Hate the game, homie, don't hate the player. Hate yourself for not being greater. Hate your kids, they hold back in the layer. Turn my music hot, motherfucker, put the volume up. That's the only way you ever gonna shut the haters up. They see my name and they see the logo. They hear my game and respect the promo. 100,000 here, 100,000 there. Button Gucci free throws all up in your ear. I got my name this far in under 2 years. My hustle and my grind is what it is they fear. They say my name and act like they my cousins. I heard so-and-so put you on, you must be bluffing. Niggas think they put me on, I ask for nothing. If they really put me on, then thanks for nothing.
Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. Dutch and Genetic, Al-Qaeda Vega. I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You don't like me, fuck you. 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 I'm going jihad on all of my haters. You know who it is, Al-Qaeda Vega.
The haters, they are hating me. I accept it graciously. Speak quite brazenly. Disrespect blatantly. Smile up in your face and they act very gracefully. Then turn behind your back and talk about you famously. I ignore them faithfully, just for their own safety. I take aim at those who shot at me aimlessly. Hang them like some drapery, but I don't shoot peacefully. Put a dog down, no guarantee it's humanely. Motherfuckers acting up, everybody's acting tough. It's actors, your acting's tough. Take more parts, you don't act enough. You're a great actor, where's your action stuff? They hating on my progress, hating on my notching, hating on my brains, all the hate is really gay. Why, oh why, are you so irate? You really still hate, that's on 1998.
MCMI. These songs gon' rise, gon' fan your eyes and
anyway.
Keep on me. These songs gon' rise, gon' fan your eyes and keep them on me.
Decarbon
to the rescue, hip it and
MCMI.
Are we on the air?
Yes, sir, we are on the air.
Is that what they say on the radio still? Are we on the air? Or do they say, are we online?
Online? Are we online? Do we have Wi-Fi? I don't know. Whatever you call it. Are we live?
What's the Wi-Fi password?
Of course we're live. So, it's MCMI Radio, Friday night.
Yes, sir, Friday night.
MCMI.
It's on us to make sure that, you know, the generations after us know, you know what I'm saying?
It is what it is.
MCMI Radio, real hip hop, real talk.
MCMI Radio, real hip hop, real talk. We're back, GMS and LR Blitzkrieg.
Yes, sir.
Broadcasting out of Brooklyn, we got a special guest for you guys today, calling in off of tour from California, and he's going to be telling us about his tour, his new album. This is an MC that's been getting considerable buzz right now, especially since he signed his new deal and is starting to release this new project. So let's bring him on in. Homeboy Sandman, what's good?
Peace, brothers, what up? How's it going?
Everything's good over here in Brooklyn. How is it out in Cali? How's the weather?
The weather in Cali is very nice. It's very warm and sunny, but I definitely miss home.
You're from New York, yes?
I'm from Queens.
What part of Queens?
I'm from Elmhurst, Queens.
All right, that's what's up. Not that it matters. Queens is cool with me. You know, I'm a Brooklyn dude, but, you know. You guys don't have me except for how you name your streets. Queens is cool with me.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I kind of, Queens gets flack for going with the 65th Row, 65th Place, 65th Street. But at least you know that's right next to 64th Row, 64th Place, 64th Street. In Brooklyn, everything is a name. It'd be like, yo, go to Johnson, drive, make a left on Sullivan. It's like, yo, who are these people? I don't know what this is at. What's up with this grid? You know what I'm saying? What's up to Brooklyn?
How's the tour going out there? We know you're out there doing music,
making
doing great shows.
Tour is going great, man. We still kind of just getting started up. Our first date was yesterday in San Luis Obispo, which was tons of fun. We're out here touring with Brother Ali, whose album is also coming out on Tuesday, Morning in America and Dreaming in Color. And that's a phenomenal brother, and he puts on a fantastic show. So touring with him, we're gonna be touring for about 6.5 weeks. We do come back to New York on the 27th, and we rock in the Bowery Ballroom September 27th. But we're gonna be on the road for a long time. But I'm really looking forward to it. Yesterday was a great way to set it off. Tonight we're doing Santa Ana. We should be there in about half hour. So yesterday things kicked off to a great start. Yeah.
So you're on the road right now to the show?
Yeah, we going to soundcheck right now.
All right, that's what's up.
Hey, Sandman, when you're promoting this album, are you only going to be rocking songs off this album, or are you doing some older material too?
I do my older material as well. You know, I definitely am doing, I'm rocking about 45 minutes a night, so I'm rocking about, you know, maybe five or so, maybe six, you know, depending on what's going on, of the new joints. But I like to, every show that I do, particularly if I got a nice 45 to an hour set, I like to showcase something from The Good Son. I like to showcase something from Actual Factual Pterodactyl. I like to showcase something from Nourishment, Second Helpings. Those are my first three albums before this album, First of a Living Breed, coming out on Tuesday. And I also had a couple of EPs come out early this year. So I like to do at least one song or a couple of verses off a song, you know, from everything, because I want people to know that, you know, I got my new ish coming out, but my ish is timeless, you know what I'm saying? So I want people to know, you know, it's not just the new stuff I got coming out. I got a whole catalog you need to get with.
What's your live show look like? Do you have a certain DJ that you work with, or a band, or, you know?
I run with my DJ Sosa, and it's me and Sosa, and we run like a well-oiled machine, you know?
Nice.
You mentioned a lot of your other projects, and it's like you've put out so much music in such a short span of time. Your work ethic is kind of crazy. How do you find, like, how do you do it? How do you put out so much music in such a short span of time? I know you put out about, what is it, like 4 albums in 5 years plus a bunch of EPs, singles, mixtapes?
Yeah, I write every, you know, I write every day. You know, it's where I find my center at, you know what I mean? It's where I find my happiness at is in creating. So I always have a bunch of new ish, you know what I'm saying? And I'm lucky whenever I'm in New York City, I run over there. Source 9 Edition to be my DJ is also my engineer. And he's got Amplifonic Studios in Queens. I really shoot over there once a week, you know what I mean? So once a week pretty much for the last 5.5, 6 years, I've been knocking out a joint or two over at Amplifonic Studios. So, you know, I have a lot of stuff out, man, but it really does, it pales in comparison to stuff I haven't even put out yet, you know? Like, I got way more stuff I haven't put out. That's going to come out eventually, you know, I mean, that stuff, you know, I'm really excited about the release on Tuesday, but I'm already thinking about the following releases after that because, you know, I'm sitting on 120 joints.
Nice. Well, that's good for us. That's good for the fans. That's good for hip-hop, you know what I mean? I wanted to get a little personal for a minute. The first song that I ever heard of yours was Lightning Bolt, Lightning Bolt.
Lightning Rod.
Yeah, that's my theme song because, my name is LR Blitzkrieg, and the LR, it stands for Lightning Rod. So that's
all right.
I put on a cape every time that song comes on. I just, like, you know, walk around with the superhero stance. I just got to say that.
Word.
That's some hidden trivia. A lot of people don't know that. If they know Blitz from back in the day, he used to just be LR or Lightning Rod for a minute, and then the LR into the Blitzkrieg, which also has lightning in it, in German.
I'm kind of honored that trivia was let out with me being a guest, yo. This is going to go into the annals of history.
So we were at a show at Southport, maybe. I think it was Southport. It could have been another venue because I've actually seen you perform at Southport a few times, so my mind could be switching that on me. But you came on and started doing that song a while ago, and just when I first, you know, was like figuring out who you were and being like, oh, this is homeboy Sandman, he's dope. And I was like, yo, what is it? What's this song? This guy has flow. You know, I didn't really understand the chorus at first because later I saw the video and I was like, okay. And Blitz was like, you ain't see that video? And I was like, nah. So I checked it out. And, you know, since then I've seen you rock tons of times. You did the EOW crew challenge with some homeboys of mine.
I'll work for that, yeah.
The thing that always stood out to me about you as an artist is your sense of flow, riding the beat, the tempo, your voice as an instrument, you know, with the rhythms. You always, you know, have a real energetic, you know, positive, like, energy, but yeah, it's still somehow laid back. It's like the lyrics are just rolling out, but the rhythm is crazy. And basically, I feel like you rhyme like a guy who loves to rhyme, not like a person trying to come up with an idea for what other people want or make a pop record. Like, you do hip-hop, you do stuff that you enjoy. You're an MC's MC. That's why we have you on the show. And, you know, you have fun with it. It's really refreshing, you know?
Well, I appreciate all that, man. You know, I grew up listening to cats. I grew up listening to Big Pun. I grew up listening to Redman. You know, I grew up listening to GZA, and, you know, I could go on and on. Eminem, you know, I love most Def joints. LL Cool J was my dude in the days. And I love Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, Big Daddy Kane. But cats that was crazy dope with it. You know what I mean? Like, even when hip-hop started going this way, that way, in terms of, you know, what the media was kind of pointing direction to, even when other cats was messing with other cats, I was kind of like, oh, that's cool or whatever, but play for me, you know, the new crazy stuff from, you know, the cat that can really rap for real. You know what I mean? So I never even learned how to get into that, oh, this is the trend or something like that. Like, that never really even made it into my mainframe. I was always like, you know, I rock what was dope. All I'm trying to make is ish that's dope. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was a kid, you know what I mean? And before I even knew what a biter was, all I was like, all these cats is, you know, you listen to a Kane record and he's just talking about biters. You listen to an LL record, he's just talking about biters. You listen to G-Rap and he's talking about biters. Like, I don't know what a biter is, but I don't want to be a biter. You know what I'm saying?
Word. Well, like my friend Pac FM told me the other day, this really stuck in my mind. He said when you make a song, he was saying this is advice he gives people. When you make a song that you would make and no one else is going to hear it. Like, this is for me. I just want to make a dope song. I don't care who's hearing this. It might never come out. And just make what you enjoy. You know what I mean? Instead of worrying about what the trends are and all that. And, you know, I think that you embody that. It sounds like it. That's how it comes out. Since you named a lot of artists, let me ask you something. What was the first hip-hop song you ever heard?
Man, you know, my parents, you got this. My parents, my father in particular, was really, you know, has always been a music lover. So in the early days of hip-hop, even before I was even, you know, when I was just a baby, I mean, I remember my father walking around the house, and when I would do some, he would be like, yo, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. Around the time, like, that song was first out, you know what I'm saying? That became his way of warning me, I better stop acting stupid. So I really remember my fam, like, you know, spinning Sugar Hill Gang records, you know what I mean? And, you know, playing The Message and playing early. Like, I remember, like, Run DMC joints, like, hearing them, but not, like, I was a baby. I was, like, 4 or 5 years old. But I remember, like, you know, older people listening to these joints when I was just a kid. So I think, you know, I was born in 1980, so, you know, the very early, you know, between 75 and 80 stuff, I wasn't hearing. And I guess I wasn't really remembering what I was hearing for those first couple of years. But as soon as I remember, there was always hip-hop around.
That's what's up. So let's go into some of these joints that you have off of some of your previous projects. I can't call them old projects because, you know, you just started just a few years ago, and they're still fresh, you know what I mean? So let's go into some of your previous projects from, you know, back from 07, 08, and then we'll come back and talk about the new album. We're here with Homeboy Sandman. This is MCMI Radio.
Anyway. I'm gon' rise, we back your eyes and keep them on me. To the rescue, hipper than Hatcho, then bless you. I'll be in the lab, dude. My respect, dude. I should get a tattoo with a testo. Monkey, that's a bad bone. That's my nephew. Funky than the bathroom. That's the restroom. Wabled in the back room with the guest hoes. I'll be on the avenue. Make a chest move. Don't be getting fretful. Time to get forgetful. Rapping for the fresh new. Whipping up fresh food. Yeah. Beard like Moses. Kicking with the opposition of the posers. Thanks for going ear. Passing over each and every foe. Wake up. It's all the Folgers. I don't want to hear how it won't work. That just mean the whole earth hasn't done their homework. Early on I fear, then I soul search, sexy like a gopher. Figured I should go first. Reason why I don't curse, reason why I'm sober, reason I'm a younger, reason I'm older. Open your eyes and keep them on me. Shotgunning for the leg room, end all my 14 cookies in the bedroom. Pepper cat that's always weapon in the rec room. Paparazzi boys stand rapping in they red room. Passing as a check one before I even check two. You ain't gotta say it once, everybody guess who. I be putting checks up, even when the rest do. Ain't nobody next up, ain't nobody next to. Moment that I enter, recognize the emperor. So I be getting extra, places like Vanessa. People see the homeboy, then they be like, oh snap. Then they be like, oh boy, shout the Japanese cat chillin', watching old boy. People in New Orleans chillin', eating po' boys. Just because I'm pro-life, don't mean I ain't pro-choice. Reading Dostoevsky, don't mean I read Tolstoy. Used to be had no voice, you can see that's null and void. Not to be like, I am, I'ma be like, yo, soy. Now I'm making big noise, playing with the big boys. I don't mean the big noise, me, I mean the big Freud. I'm never gonna stall, I'm never gonna cease, I'm never gonna cheat, I'm never gonna cheat, and never gonna eat, I'm never gonna sleep, I'm never gonna sell out, never gonna leave, more never in the streets, I'm never gonna leave, cast name as they believe, then never take a leave, you won't never feel relieved, you don't never take a leave, my level is elite, time for another leak, time being, I'm a leave, one leave, I'm a leak. Cast labor on the mic, cast gather on the right. I'd rather make a left. I ain't frightened of the lights. I ain't trying to be polite. I'm fighting for my life and I'm fighting to the death. I'm down to pay the price. Ain't no roll of the dice. Only one way to dive in. Take it to the depth. Don't mind if money's tight. I'm done with wearing ties. I'm running out of time. Not running out of breath. Next thing you know, presto. I'm all up in the presto. Yeah, you want to bet. Make sure to stay abreast.
Oh,
yeah.
Kung Fu. Karate. Taekwondo, Tai Chi, Taibo, that other shit that they did in that movie, what was it called? I can't remember. Capoeira, that's what I'm talking about. Say it out.
Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. You can see this is not simply any old type of flow, type of song. I done taken hold of a lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Homeboy saying, journey man, travel place to place. Out of range, out of state, even outer space. In Japan, pretty much, say konnichiwa to the lightning rod, twisted off, Kirin Ichiban. Lightning rod, lightning bolts racing through the sky. Some are hit, some are hurt, most of them are mine. Salt I hill with the strap, needs a calamine. G and mine, fresh and clean, strictly sanitized. Everywhere that I go, people always ask. Have any enemies taking you to test? I reply, no indeed, that'd be very hard. I'm a lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod. Lightning rod, lightning, lightning bolt. Let me lighten your load. I eat bowls of lightning bolts, a la mode. Made my bones with witches and trolls. Now I build bridges and pitch fishes and loaves. My britches low, my britches got a bulge. I will divulge when you and I alone. I lightning thunder cats, call me Lion O. Say hello to my little friend. My little foes looking nervous as I step upon the scene. Boy, you made casualty, please pardon me. Weatherman puzzled by how long the lightning lasts. Thunderclap, lightning bolt, bolts of lightning flash. Radio, there they go, playing a load of crap. Do not sweat, do not fret, let me handle that. Seminole, centerfolds, hope to get it on. With the lights get on, lightning bolt, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning bolt. I got loads of flows for whatever floats your boat. I've been frozen, sounds sweeter than a Toblerone. He's yet a Sunday bone. So once you grab a hold, don't let go. It's not why I compose. And I'm down for going low, 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 if that's what you propose. I got X amount of soldiers in my Motorola phone. But let me also make it known, I must prefer being amicable. Lightning bolt, lightning rod. Visit homeboysandmandiggy.com. If you'd like to get involved, fireball, dialogue, by and large, infinity and beyond. I quit PMBR. Y'all busy wondering what do he be on. Trying to find a category in which he belong. But be warned, that will take very long. No part Babylon, all in overhead, part carry on. Part Megatron, part Vagabond. All lightning bolt, all lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt. Lightning rod, lightning rod, lightning, lightning rod. Lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning, lightning bolt.
Real talk, we're back. We got Homeboy Sandman on the line from Cali. He's on tour right now promoting his new album. We're having a lot of fun up here. A lot of good music going down right now.
Well, that's how MCMI gets down.
You know it, you know it. So before we went to break, we were talking about, you know, your first introductions to hip hop and what music you heard as a kid growing up. What about right now? Like, who are you feeling right now? What's your favorite, your top five dead or alive currently?
Well, I guess, I mean, top five dead or alive currently. I mean, as far as dudes right now that people would consider you know, current dudes. I'm really loving Odyssey's new record, People Hear What They See. I think that joint is phenomenal. Like, I'm really amped off that. I mean, there's a, you know, I've been a big Blue fan for a long time, and haven't heard the whole new album, the Give Me My Flowers While I Can Still Smell Them, but I'm excited to hear that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if I thought that was ill. I've heard a couple of joints that I felt was ill. I'm a big fan of Solkan from Brooklyn. I'm a big fan of I Am Many from Brooklyn and Scene from Brooklyn. As far as, like, you know, Finale from Detroit is a cat that's you know, that's taking a little hiatus, but I know is getting ready to come back out with some ill ish. These are, I guess, the guys, the current guys, but you know, that I'm checking for. Even though I don't really, to be honest, listen to very much music. Not because I don't like listening to music, but only because you know, if ever I have time to listen to stuff, that means I have time to write some stuff. So I'd rather listen to a beat and create a song. But some Born Peace stuff I was listening to, some recent from Tanya Morgan. He's a super duper MC. But as far as, you know, my favorite MC has always been Black Thought from the Roots Crew, you know? Coming up, that was my number one guy, and it's always been my favorite MC, you know, stuff that he was doing on Illadelph Half-Life and Do You Want More and Things Fall Apart and even Organics. And even after that, like, he to me, has represented the gold standard for MCing. But, you know, some of the guys I named before, other guys I will put in there, you know, there's a bunch of guys. I really feel like try to think about records, like that first Mos Def record, that Black on Both Sides, right? I messed with New Danger, and I even messed with the other joint that came out, the True Magic, you know, even though it's kind of short and a bit thrown together. But, and I know he's still coming out with stuff, but I've been a huge fan of Mos Def. I've been a huge fan of Black Thought.
You're naming a lot of people, but it's good because you're actually just giving us a list of all the people that we're going to get on our future shows.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So
I guess that's my top 12 that are alive so far. That's my first 12 I can think of.
Nice. Give us a baker's dozen there.
Yeah.
Now, you have several videos out. People can go YouTube you and Google you and check out some of your videos. You had this one phenomenal video that stands out in my mind for your song, The Carpenter.
Thank you.
Is it The Carpenter or just Carpenter?
The Carpenter.
The Carpenter. And that song is really dope, audio-wise, period.
Two Hungry Bros on the produce.
Who produced that?
Two Hungry Bros.
Tell me about
it. They're on my new album. They did a joint called Mine on Mine. They did two joints on The Good Son. They've done production on everything I've put out with the exception of one EP and my first album.
The music is dope. I can tell the beat came on and you just got hype and you just went in on that, you know?
Yeah.
So the video, it probably went viral. The visuals are so stunning and interesting on that. And yet it seems like it's very simple. There's not a lot of super special effects, but there's a simple effect, the doubling, and all the some great camera work. So I really want to know who filmed that because the shots are so clear and vivid, you know?
I'm surprised you didn't get hit by a car in that video. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Yeah, I was in harm's way a couple of times, though. You know, we shot that video over 3 days, and we shot for, like, hours every day. That was a tiring video to make, and I was in the middle of the street. Like, all the shots ain't even come out right. There was some danger shots that we didn't include. Yeah. But
you had to hold your breath underwater for some part. It's a crazy, crazy video. I really recommend our listeners go check that out. It is on mcmireport.com. You can just go to the search, type The Carpenter, or type Homeboy Sandman, and all his articles and blogs will come up. But it's really hot. You made something that's hard to look away from. It really complements the song. Describe it a little bit, like, since we're talking about it for the listeners, like, and tell us how you came up with those ideas and those objects and stuff.
I really got to just give a shout-out to Brad Hoxie, who's the cat that directed it. And to be honest, you know, that was really his brainchild, you know, just the idea of, you know, all my videos, you know, it's only been recently that I've had a little bit more of a, you know, budget for some of my videos. And even now, still, I don't have very much. You know, I've grown accustomed to trying to make a lot out of a little. So when I talked to Brad, you know, we didn't have very much to work with, and I was like, we need an idea, you know, that the idea alone is easy and, you know, inexpensive, and but it'll make for, you know, like you say, something that won't get boring, something that's difficult to take your eyes away from. And it was really him completely that came up with the, well, we'll just light a camera on his side, you know what I'm saying, and we'll flip it on the screen so it'll look like you're standing up or like you're lying down. You know, we'll put the camera while you're lying down so it'll look like you're standing up, but we'll be able to do anti-gravity-ish, and it'll just make for an interesting look. And then we'll have some double screen, and then, you know, we'll just have it in some interesting places. And, you know, as the video progresses, we'll just get wackier and wackier with the places we're doing. You know, we'll wind up in a pool. We'll wind up spinning around on, you know, swings and things like that. You know, stuff just lying on the street. We'll have tennis balls flying at you and, you know, dogs running by or, you know, just whatever's in the video. It was really Brad Hossie that is responsible for a lot of that stuff. But, you know, the video, you know, the song, The Carpenter, it's about building momentum. It's theme, you know, carpentry is about building, and it's about a lot of different things. But I'm glad that with the song, the idea of just multiple planes of existence was able to come through. You know what I mean? That's something that I think is definitely represented by that split screen and by, you know, all the places where we are. And that's something I would like people to think about when they listen to the lyrics of the song.
That's what's up. Now, you, before you got deep and, you know, became a full-fledged recording artist, you weren't into carpentry. You were actually going to law school?
Yeah, I was in law school directly prior to Ramen, you know?
That's what's up. So I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, what made you decide officially to transition and just say, you know, forget law school, becoming a lawyer, or, you know, being in the law field and just focusing on being an MC?
Well, it really was that I found my passion. You know, for the first time in my life, I found my passion, and I found something that I could wake up and do it all day long, and I would stay up late and wake up early, and I would just be happy. It would keep me happy, and I could do it for 7-8 hours without even realizing I hadn't eaten, without even realizing I hadn't gone to the bathroom. You know, it just so happened that I was in law school. But before I was in law school, you know, I was in school getting a master's for education. You know what I'm saying? I was teaching. I was bartending. I was doing all types of things because I didn't know what I wanted to do, you know? So it was less of a, yo, it's between law school and, you know, rhyming. It was really just a, you know, no matter what I've been doing, boom, I found my passion. I found what I really wanted to do. It just so happened that I was in law school at that point. And after I finished law school, I would have done something else. You know, because I was going to law school. School has kind of been, you know, something that throughout my life I've been like, yo, you know, school hooks you up. Yo, they give you some place to stay. They give you food. They give you money. You know, it's a good look, you know. I'm good with books, so, you know.
I did the tap and pell, and I have a lot of schools, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's fun to learn stuff during your day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's better than wasting time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it definitely, you know, learning helps you with your craft, you know what I mean? It definitely helps you be a better MC. And I don't, you know, there are a lot of people out there that think that, you know, education is not important to, you know, anything else you want to do. Like, if I want to be a rapper or I want to be, you know, a basketball player, whatever it is, you know, education definitely gives you a broader vision and gives you more to work with, you know?
No question, man. The more you soak in, you know, I mean, I definitely, you know, academia, I think there's a lot to learn from there. But just any education, man, any perspective, man, be it, you know, going to school or just traveling different places, reading. I'll let you know.
Like KRS talked about that. KRS didn't stay in public school or go to college. He just started reading and seeking out knowledge and stuff he wanted to study, you know.
Yeah, just seeking it out, man.
So speaking of school and stuff, I read in somewhere that you for a brief time also were a teacher. Is that true?
Yeah, I taught high school for a couple of years, yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, what subjects did you teach? I'm just curious.
I taught math for both years, and then I taught history one year, one of those years as well, and then the other year I taught science for half a year and English for half a year. So it was teacher special ed, so, you know, you got to plug in a lot of holes. So I wound up teaching every subject, but I taught math. Math primarily is the one I taught the entire time, and then I taught history for half a year, and, you know, I taught a little science and a little English too.
Nice.
During, I should say, with your law school education, does that help you in terms of your business dealings? Or, like, do you use that? Like, what type of law were you majoring in, and does that help you in your hip hop career in terms of, you know, contracts or just, you know, dealing with the other aspects of the business,
the industry?
Well, yeah, it does. It does help a little. I was focusing primarily on education law and criminal law. That's what I focused on primarily. But you know, everybody has to take contracts and take torts. And I think one thing that it really did is I realized while I was in law school that the whole lawyer thing is a complete racket. You know what I'm saying? It's just nobody, you know, it's a whole language and it's a whole, you know, it's like a whole song and dance, you know, that most people don't know. That's really all it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, most people will be way better off rather than paying somebody who knows the lingo or whatever, or knows the, you know, kind of the circus ways of the courtroom, or when to stand up or how to say this or how to file this. If they would just invest a month of their time into researching their issue, finding out the precedents for their issue, whatever it is, be it a family law issue, criminal law, whatever it is somebody's going through, because you're always going to care more about what's going on with you than some person you hire who really don't have no stake in it but what they're getting paid. But the thing, and anybody, you know, some of the dumbest people you meet in your whole life are in law school, you know, just like some of the smartest people you meet in your whole life will just be on the street, never graduated, you know?
Yeah,
But what it does do is, what it did do is it kind of showed me, it gave me all that confidence, like, yo, there's nothing going on here that anybody couldn't handle or deal with, you know, if they just took a little time to figure it out, you know? So I took that time to figure it out. And, you know, I've never had a manager. I've never had an agent. You know, I have an attorney. You know, shout out to my brother Nick Rosenberg, my attorney. But he, you know, he helps me on whatever it is I need help with. But I definitely don't need to go to him as much as, you know, I can look through things myself. I could ask him questions. Like, I feel confident figuring things out on my own, and I walk into a spot by myself, or I talk to a booker by myself, or somebody who I know is trying to, you know, get the most out of me. You know what I mean? I could approach them and feel confident, like, these cats is not going to get over on me. You know,
it's
I think I got a little out of law school.
It's like when you go somewhere and somebody's speaking a different language behind your back, and, you know, they think you don't know that language. And I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. All the time you're sitting there understanding.
I wonder if people know that, like, because, you know, people have, if let's say they don't know your specific history, and which hopefully they do if they're trying to do a deal with you, but, you know, and they're like, oh, this guy is an MC. What does he know? Because people have this idea that MCs aren't educated in general, when I say 80 to 90% of the MCs that I know, major artists, underground, independent, everyone, really have a high level of education and sophistication, but there's a stereotype that they don't, you know? So I wonder if people, you know, try to get over you on something. Oh, I sent you over, you know, the paperwork. Just take a look at that and sign it. You're looking at it like, no, I know what this is.
What is this? This
I'm not going for the okie doke.
So let's go back into some more Homeboy Sandman music, maybe play a couple other joints, and we'll be back to talk about his new album, first of A Living Breed, ask you about that, and yeah, this is MCMI Radio. We here with Homeboy Sandman.
Yo, peace. What up? It's Homeboy Sandman, all right? First of A Living Breed. Kicking it on MCMI Radio. Real hip hop. Real talk. You understand? This is what I'm talking about Friday, 8 to 10. Congratulations on your participation and awareness taking part in this ill-ish. Son, peace.
Well. here to let you know. Here to let you know. Yo, who the old team? Johnny Appleseed, playing overseas, bagging breezes out of Japanese magazines. Who the major league? Built a magnesium magnifique. Who the man in seed? Set to make a scene, have a seat. Y'all is mini me, Kenny G. This is Benny Fendi Beach. This is Kitty Genevieve, Energy. This is Middle East, Queens, MSC. This is Kerosene, Heresy. You ain't never seen. Man, got the catalog. I'm clad in a camouflage. Smash with the Capricorn, Atom Bomb, Amazon Broad. With the brawl, with the cannonballs, with the bonbon. Looking frolic like you borrowed it from Harry Bond. Dog, I'm the dog on dawn. Rep the cause at all costs. Call the SARS, get the commandant, calling all cars. Get the catapult charged, get the catapult launched. We are large, we are large. Something else, turn it up another notch. Might it up a number notch. There's a million ups and nars up in arms. We ain't talking writing blogs, dog. Talking dropping bombs. I don't even fuck with songs. This is songs. We the Renaissance. We at odds with the Pentagon. They the Decepticons. They the demagogues. Better pray to Holy God. Keep your guard, dog. Slowly pull your card, dog. From the valleys and the peaks to the alleys and the streets. For the cabbies and the priests and the nannies and the trannies and the freaks. Think I give a motherfucker about a Grammy. I got grannies trying to eat. I got family with the cameras on the scene. And the cavalry canvas in the scene for the taste. Can it be that the reason why the city never sleeps is the sirens and the screeches and the screams never sleep. Pretty baby, we can't make it if we drop. Never break, never play, never daze, never phase, never fray, never flake, never fake, never in it for the fame. Shit, I'm in it for the fame. If you in it for the same, if you willing to defend it in the center of the flame, if you in to represent with every sentence that you say, every syllable you spray, then you save, cause you save. If you isn't, use a waste, choose a nigga, use a slave, use a snake. Shit, you wanna be ashamed, choose about to get disgraced and erased, choose about to get their face, see your face go away. Where to stay is in your place, out my space. You could call it player hate, but I'm finished playing games. Should I still be playing tapes? This insane, till the 40 days of rain. Stay in shape, stay the same. We can't make it if we try. Sweet darling, we can't make it if we try.
What's going on? This is the Gwen Stefani of rap. MCMR Radio, Friday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. My name is Destroy, and you tuned in to Real Hip Hop, Real Talk, MCMIReport.com. Go in, wild out, spaz, tell your mother, tell your father, this situation, this MCMR Radio, hose them down, all right? Hopefully everything is fantastic in your life, and if it's not, tune in.
MCMR.
Yao Ming, Destroy. Peace.
MCMR.
This is MCMR Radio. I'm your host, LR Blitzkrieg, along with the main man, GMS. And we got Super MC, Homeboy Sandman,
yeah,
talking to us live from LA. So we listened to a bunch of your old joints. I wanted to know, besides for the new stuff on the new album, what's your favorite joints off of some of your older projects?
Man, I guess I could name some joints that come to me. I always do difficult with two questions. I do difficult with what are your favorite joints, because I love all my joints, and I always do difficult with what would you be doing if you wasn't rhyming, because I would never not be rhyming. But I guess, I really love joints that have really meant a lot to me and have caught a lot of traction. I guess off the Good Son is definitely the Carpenter. Mean Mug was another one. Tablecloth, Angels with Dirty Faces. Actually, Angels with Dirty Faces is one of my favorite joints that I've done. Gun Control is another record is one of my favorite joints that I've done, and that actually wasn't on any of my projects. But I've always been a fan of you know, the type of ish like KRS-One type ish or P type ish, which was important subject matter, you know, relevant smarts, relevant thinking over just some hard ass beat. Like you can't even, like this song is about, you know, things that are important, you know, things, you know, deep subject matter, deep political issues. When I say political, I mean people, you know, what the word means. I don't mean clowns on TV for entertainment. This song, right. This music is about deep stuff, and the beat is crazy, like, you know, dealing with important subject matter. So Gun Control, Angels with Dirty Faces, have opened a couple of songs. On my first album, I really love Extreme Measures. I really love We Can Fly with the Bachata sample. I love Comrade Punsky, which was my kind of old, the big pun. I love Kane News, man. I guess these are the first ones coming to me, man. Off the second record, I love Airwave Air Raid. I guess I could say that Airwave Air Raid is my favorite song off the second album. You know, I love Opium. I love Lightning Bolt.
You just love your music, which you.
I love my joints, man. Yeah, man.
Tell me about, you had mentioned Two Hungry Bros. Tell me about the AOK Collective.
Yeah, Two Hungry Bros were the producer leg of AOK Collective and led to such fabulous AOK joints as P Soul's Best in Show, which had myself on it and Orin Vaughn P was on it. And also just a bunch of joints that we all did together, me, Fresh Daily, P Soul, Nola Darling.
Is that everybody?
That did I forget? We got Eighth One, of course. I'm bugging out. I forgot my boy Eighth One. So that was a okay crew. But Eighth One, I can't
DJs,
believe I forgot.
DJs, MCs, and producers.
Yeah,
MCs, right?
Yeah, it was. You know, the producers were the Two Hungry Bros. And it's not like every AOK joint was produced by Two Hungry Bros, but they were doing mad joints and, you know, was part of the collective for sure. And then it was 8-1, who had an album out called Love, Money, and Music, which was phenomenal. He's since done a project with Two Hungry Bros called No Room for Dessert, which is also fantastic. And it was Fresh Daily who really introduced me to the Two Hungry Bros. P-So, the Earth Tone King, who at that time was Picasso, and Nola Darling, the two of them, No Darling's actually two females who have since moved to Los Angeles. So I'm actually in a part of town right now. But it was really cool. Like, it wasn't talking about the thing, you know, some people used to say, you know, I mean, obviously we never made it to the, we never put in the same type of work as a Native Tongues or as a Wu or anything like that, or any of these, you know, conglomerates that people think of. But it wasn't really very much like either of those, even though some people used to be like, well, they're more of a Native Tongues, you know, they're separate entities and do their own thing, but they kind of roll with each other. But it wasn't even really that type of thing, because I feel like we was a little more like a group than Native Tongues was,
yeah.
A little less like a group than Wu was, you know what I'm saying? Like, Wu was a group. We wasn't
right.
A group, but Native Tongues, they wasn't a group, but they was all cool and they would do joints. But we really like do shows together, you know what I'm saying? Like it was like an AOK show. We would be doing our own joints or collab joints, but, you know, I guess Native Tongues does shows too, but it was a Native Tongue type thing. But basically it was just, we supported each other's art, you know what I mean? And we had different, you know, nobody in the camp was the same person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we all were kind of people that nobody's the same person as us. So, and, you know, we was able to respect, you know, each other's craft. So we made some good music.
Are you still going to be doing music with those people?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you keep speaking of it, you know, in the past tense. I was wondering if, you know, you guys just don't speak anymore or you just...
Oh, no, yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, on we haven't been making music with each other very much anymore. I mean... People have different things going on, but those are my people. I see A4 all the time. 200 Rose is on my record. Piso's my boy. He's in a video that'll come as a cameo from him. He came down. Fresh Daily is my people's. know what I'm saying? I actually think he's in London right now, or he may have just got back from London or Germany. I was talking to him about his road trip. So we still all talking. It's still all love. Nola, I got to shout Nola out since I'm out here, but I'm going to shout them out for the L.A. show. But, yeah, it's all love all throughout.
There's some more people for our future shows.
Yeah, you got to get all them, you know? You got to get the 8-1, man. 8-1's getting ready to come out with a project with Pat Van Dyke, and it's called Lux DeVille. And Pat Van Dyke is a producer. And I'm telling y'all, 8-1 could bomb me.
Definitely check that out. I wanted to ask you about your writing process because, you know, your flows are so crazy and everything. It's definitely got its own style to it. It's different. How do you write? Like, do you just sit down with a pen and pad? Do you listen to the beat first? Or do you just, you know, write without a beat and then fit it in? Or, like, you know?
For the very most part, like 99% of the time, I'm writing to a beat. You know, I have a beat. It start, you know, my writing process in large part is the beat. What is this beat saying to me? What's the aura of the beat? You know, am I going to attack it high pace, you know, up tempo, or am I going to lay back and, you know, be more low key with it just in terms of my tone of voice, but even just my cadence? Is it going to be rapid fire? Is it going to be choppy? Is it going to be sparse? You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of this comes to me from the beat. You know, is this going to be a record? You know, the subject matter comes from the feel I get from the beat. You know, I like selecting beats that, to me, you know, I like listening to even before they have any rhymes on them, so they kind of tell their own story. So then I like to, you know, complement that story with the rhymes that I put on them. So yeah, for me, you know, earlier you talked about, I mean, I like to think of myself really as, at this point, as not even really having a style, because I don't sound the same. Like, it's crazy, because the last one I put out was an EP called Chimera, which means the unachievable dream, and every, you know, the production was very Lava Lamp status, everything was real, like, dreamy, like, the production was really dreamy, and the flows were all very, you know, they were sparse types of flows, like, you know, all the rhyme structures and all the rhyme patterns were kind of, you know, esoteric, you know, like, not even esoteric is the right word, but just ethereal maybe, just like, you know, but slowed down cadence type stuff, you know what I mean, and more spaced out type stuff. And then when you know, people obviously, you know, I'm still on the way to where I'm going, and, you know, so people are always picking up on me at different times, and it'll be the first thing they heard at any time. So when this single came out, What You Want From Me, which the video is about to come out for, which is the lead daughter of the new record, I actually got a bunch of feedback from people that was like, yo, Homeboy Sandman, you know, it's dope to hear you on some up-tempo-ish. It's dope that you could do that too, which to me was crazy. Because if people were listening, like, I'm not ashamed to say I've definitely gotten stronger. And early on in my career, you listen to my first record, I think you could definitely hear, you know, the Big Pun, Eminem, and, you know, Black. I think there's three dudes that really, this dude loves Big Pun, he loves Eminem, and he loves Black Thought. You know, like...
Okay.
I was attacking joints more like them. I hadn't really come into my own, really. You know what I'm saying? And but now, I say all that to say that I feel like now I don't really have a style, because I don't sound the same, because the beats don't sound the same. So me, I want to be an instrument. You know what I mean? I'm not a different. And that's not to say there aren't some guys that definitely have a distinctive, consistent sound, like Doom. I'm a huge Doom fan. I'm sorry I didn't bring him up earlier, because when I was talking about greatest, because Doom sounds like Doom, but he's super duper ill, you know?
Yeah.
But me, I want to sound different every single time. I want to attack everything different. Does this, you know, what is this called for? I want to kind of take everything as it comes with melody and with cadence.
I think that's that's good.
I feel like that definitely gives you more longevity, you know, it just as an afterthought, but it. If you don't have one style and you can switch it up with whatever music that you're rhyming over, you know, it gives you more variety. It gives people something new to wait for or to anticipate.
And you'll never get played out. People won't be like, oh, okay, we've heard this already for a few years, because everything you do will keep changing. And, you know, Rakim said that in an interview too. He said that when they asked him, you know, how do you write your rhymes or whatever, he said, I can't write until I hear the beat. I put a speaker in front of me. I play the new beats I'm listening to, and whatever the beat says to me, that's where I go with my song, you know?
That's one of the greatest
with a very similar vibe. Yeah. It sounds like whatever track you're inspired by is going to inspire your song and your flow.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask you about the new label situation. When you first got signed to Stone's Throw not long ago, there was an immediate buzz in the industry. Heads were excited, and I think that they felt, at least I felt, that symbolized, you know, a great new partnership. People have respect for Stone's Throw as a label. They were happy to see you, hear that you were making that move. You know, tell us how that deal came about, what it means to you in terms of the direction of your music, and how's it been working so far as you've been making this album since signing to Stone's Throw?
So far, I really have had nothing but a positive experience with it, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, I think that part of the response, you know, that people had, part of the excitement, stems from the fact that Stone's Throw is well known as being a label that supports real artistry. They're not, you know, you look at Stone's Throw's roster and you got all types of different genres, and within genres you have all different types of artists made with all different types of sounds. It's not a label that is looking to take part in anything cookie cutter. It's not a label that's looking to corral anybody, you know, and lead right. them in any specific direction. So I think that people recognize that. I mean, knowing me, I'm somebody who couldn't conform if I tried. You know what I'm saying? I would just rather be dead. And I think that people were excited because they were like, well, here's a place where, I mean, I looked at it, I'm very excited, and the way it's turned out is it's a place where, you know, these are allies, these are comrades. They believe in my music, and they think it's dope. And they want to push it. You know, they have a rabid fan base nationally, internationally. Like, it's so many more people that have access to my stuff and that my stuff is reaching, but I don't need to compromise my stuff at all. You know what I'm saying? Which is really a dream come true. I mean, it's a match made in heaven. I haven't, you know, this is not to say, you know, I come up with all types of crazy ideas. And, you know, you listen to my new album, and it's a Homeboy Sandman record. I do like to say Homeboy Sandman is, you know, every record is Homeboy Sandman like you've never heard him before, as usual. So while this one doesn't sound like any of the other things I put out, it is Homeboy Sandman in that I'm coming out of left field, I'm coming out of right field, I'm coming out of center field, you know what I'm saying? And I'm doing what I want, and I'm taking you through my head and my procedure, and it's not something that anybody but me could come up with. And, you know, they allow me to do that, man, and they nurture me and they encourage me, and they, you know, they try to hook me up with resources that I need. Really don't have anything bad to say about it, man, keep it real.
Well, can you tell people a little bit about how they came about? Obviously, we know why they signed you, because you're dope. We know why you signed to them, because they're a label that's dope and allows you that freedom. But how exactly did that come about? Did they reach out to you? Did you know someone that knew them?
Well, the way it actually, it came up because there's an artist on Stone's Throw named John Wayne, and he actually produced Unforgettable on my Subject Matter EP, and he also did two joints on my new EP. He did a joint called Not Really, and he did a joint called Rain, which is the first joint on the album.
Rain is shit.
Madden?
That song
Rain
is dope.
Rain is shit. I love that joint.
Oh, good looking out. Y'all heard that? Where y'all get that from?
Yeah.
Where's it at? How y'all get that, son?
On the Stone Throw's website.
Well, he made that beat. See, when I heard that beat, I just hopped out my seat, you know what I mean? But John Wayne, he actually signed to the label after me, but he lives in Los Angeles and has been familiar with the cats in the office and, you know, has known Peanut Butter Wolf for a while. So he knew everybody before me. And he was talking to Wolf one day and put Wolf on my edge. He knew about my joints, but Wolf didn't know. So then he introduced Wolf to my joints, man. So John Wayne, I got to look out for him whenever the opportunity arises. But after I began talking to Wolf, and it was really we started talking about me maybe hopping on some stuff with a brother named CX Kidtronics, who's a Brooklyn brother and like a punk artist, but you know, punk hip hop. You know, some real dope stuff. He's going to put something out. His album might come out in November. But if you listen to some of his production, he actually just produced a joint that me and Foul Mantra are on, which is crazy. And I'm not sure when that's going to come out.
Wow,
but,
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, man, the joint is crazy. Yo, man, I got joints in the vault, man. Yo, Lost Professor just did this joint for me with Steve Arrington on the hook. You know,
what?
Steve Arrington, he's, yo, son, is crazy. I got joints in the vault. Cats ain't even aware of this, you know what I'm saying? Like, this joint is, these things are going to come out, yo. But CX Hitronics, a lot of his production is, like, kind of zany. And I guess, you know, perhaps it's not a lot of MCs. I've shown that I have comfort over any different type of production, be it traditional boom bap, be it, you know, different time signatures. You know, I'm proficient kind of rhyming over anything. So
right.
That's what me and Wolf were first talking about, me maybe working with CX on his project a little bit as a feature maybe, just because, you know, I have aptitude of rapping over interesting production. And that wound up never even happening because I'm not on CX's album at all, even though that's my boy and he did do some joints. But that's how me and Wolf started talking, man. And at that time, I was working with Authentic, RTNC, who produced The Miracle from Subject Matter and who also produced three joints off the new album. And we were putting the album together, and I just started sending Wolf those joints. And those were really the joints that solidified the relationship.
Nice.
Gotcha.
I want to talk to you about the name of the album because, I mean, obviously the name of the album is First of a Living Breed. And it kind of reminds me of how overused the saying or title Last of a Dying Breed has been. You know, Luda's used it, Scarface, Jeezy, you know, originally, I guess, Lynyrd Skynyrd used it. But what made you name the album First of a Living Breed, and what does that mean to you?
Well, it is a play on that, and I get that a lot as a dude who brings to the table a lot of the characteristics that were prominent, that were necessary, that were mandatory in hip hop's inception. You know what I'm saying? You had to be original and innovative in hip hop's inception. You had to be telling the truth in hip hop's inception. All this, who's writing this person's rhymes, who's writing that person's rhymes, that stuff was called out immediately, and you were just blacklisted and you couldn't show your face if you wasn't kicking your balls. Like, you needed to become in with cats with stuff people didn't sound like. You know what I mean? You needed to stand for things worth standing for. Like, hip hop was about, shoot, we was listening to Self Destruction the other day. Hip hop was about the community. It was about the people. And that's not even to say that it was all about peace and love and happiness or whatever, because the community has always had highs, lows, ups and downs, you know what I'm saying? But it was about what was really there. It wasn't about, you know, hip-hop is a big marketing tool now. You know, to streamline whatever liquor you're supposed to be talking about, whatever cars you're supposed to be talking about. Hip-hop, people talk about commercial hip-hop. They're not talking about hip-hop that's commercially successful. They're talking about hip-hop that is a commercial. Like, if you was watching a Doritos commercial, it'd be mother cats sitting there eating Doritos. That's what commercial rap is. I was at this club using this phone, wearing these shoes. I drove there in this car to buy this booze, to kick it to this chick that was rocking this. You know what I'm saying? This is commercial rap. And
right. That's
what it's, you know, it's become part of the capitalist society in the United States of America that we in. But because I don't subscribe to that and I'm an artist and I'm a musician, I do get hit a lot with the, yo, you the last of a dying breed. But I feel like that's a pessimistic point of view, and it's something that I don't agree with, because I am seeing a change in the tide, you know what I mean? A change in the guard, and the tide is turning. And that first song, Rain, you know, this is what the whole album is about, because the first song is Rain, and the hook goes, the rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The wave's going to welcome the rain. You know what I'm saying? And that's just calling people to the front, like, yo, we about to sweep this away. We about to wash all this away. You know what I mean? And we need all, you know, people are sitting there concerned with, you know, I see artists getting caught up with all different types of stuff besides the art. You know, the rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The rain isn't stuck on, well, I'm gonna hold my album for 3 years or whatever. Take your craft and take your craft to the front. Take your craft to the front line, be it MCing, be it having a radio show, be it journalism, be it carpentry, be it whatever it is that you're doing for love. Bring it to the front right now, because we need you, and the waves are going to welcome you to wash away all this garbage. And that's really what's taking place when I talk about Odyssey, when I talk about I Am Many and all these dudes. We,
right.
we we're about to overtake all this. You know, who knows if the Mayans know about it when they talked about 2012? Who knows what this shift in energy was? As you see things getting crazier, but you see people finally ready to fight and ready to die rather than be corny. You know what I mean? Because that's what we need to return to. We need to return to, you know, Native American. Oh, you want to make us corny? You can just wipe us out because we ain't going out like that. You know, we need some 300. Oh, you want to try and take our earth from water? You could just wipe us out because we ain't going out like that. And finally, cats is coming back to that. And but we the first to that living breed because that's new life. Because life is art that hasn't been done before. There ain't no life in a photocopy. There ain't no life in a formula. Life is innovation. Life is creativity. So, you know, I mean, I could go on and on with it. And you know, the songs in the album pertain to that theme. But, you know, that's what the album's about.
You know, we here at MCMI, you know, we have MCMI Radio, MCMI Records, we have the clothing line, all of that. But, you know, the common theme in all of that is MCMI, you know, I am an MC. And we do this for people or about people like you, because you got me amped right now. You
what
know
else?
What I mean? It's you are definitely an MC's MC, and, you know, you bring so much passion and energy to what you do, you can't help but like it, aside from the fact that the music is just insanely dope. You know what I mean?
Good looking out, man. We that breed.
Definitely, we're definitely gonna add our raindrops to the storm. You know what I mean? And this whole
y'all already been at
the drop forward.
Word up.
Tell me more about this album, though. Like the other producers you got on it, and tell me about the. I know you're working on the What You Want From Me, which is like. We've played it probably 3 times over the past few weeks. It's completely stuck in my head. I love that joint. But tell me about, you know, the concept for the video or when we can expect that.
The video is finished now. We've already shot it. So it's being edited right now. And the concept of it is it's real fun stuff, man. Pace Rivers did it. Who also did the Not Really video, which is also not out. We actually have 4 videos for this already done. We got Sputnik done, Not Really done. What You Want From Me done, and a couple bars done, but the song is you know, I'm doing the best I can. You know, when I'm saying What You Want From Me, it's kind of like a dude would say, you know, you ask somebody, you know, do this, and you're kind of like, what you want from me? B, am I not doing enough? Am I not trying as hard as I can? You know, I'm putting in my work. So yeah. In the video, I'm in a bunch of different service industries. Like I'm tattooing a girl. And I'm asking her what you want from me. You know, it's a bunch of different things where you ask people what you want from me. I'm a barber cutting hair, and I'm asking what you want from me as I'm cutting hair. I'm in they got me in the ice cream truck. They got me in the food truck. You know, I got a falafel cart. I'm at a fruit stand. I'm in a bike shop. But just all these different things, these service industries where you give in and you know, you help and you ask people what you want from me. And, you know, there's
that's how you make a good video, man. Dope ideas. It's not about the super effects. It's about the good freaking ideas.
We've had to do it low budget for long enough now, man. When we get a budget, it'll probably throw us off.
Right?
Nah, you'll just be creative in a more expensive way. Especially if you're spending someone else's money, you know?
Yeah, well, we had a little for this, and it was crazy, like, you know, because we had these locations, and we had a little to give to the locations for helping, but I couldn't even break my old ways. I still was, you know, like, yo, you know, trying to get everything for free. If it looked like we couldn't get it, I'd be like, all right, we got a little. When we really have a little more, we'll have this die hard. So that's going to come out. And then we got a, you know, production from J57, production from Two Hungry Bros, Odyssey, John Wayne, Howard Lloyd, Authentic RTNC, Oh No. Oh No got the title track, which is, once I heard this title track, First of a Living Breed, yo, it pretty much breaks it all down. Who else is on there? Shoot, I'm forgetting a couple of people, I'm sure, but.
For now, let's actually hit him with some music. We've been talking about this album. The old music is great. This new album dropping is phenomenal. So we're going to play a few cuts off of it, and we're going to end it off like that with the good music. Before we go, if you could just answer me this one question. You talked about different things that people stand for. In one sentence, what does Homeboy Sandman stand for? What is he about?
I want to say one word. I mean, in one word, it would really just be truth. It would just be honesty. And sometimes truth looks good. Sometimes it looks bad. But it's always truth, man. It's always the right thing. You know, truth, the truth will set you free, man. You know, it might hurt or it might feel good. But, you know, I think about honesty. I think about integrity. I don't think about, it's not about being perfect. You know what I'm saying? I obviously, no, you know, I'm not perfect and probably nobody is, or maybe nobody is. But if you're yourself and you're truthful, that's acceptable. That's what you know, that's enough. You know what I'm saying? So I would say truth, man. The truth is in these records. You can feel it.
There you go. The album drops Tuesday. Hit them with the Twitter, the website, any other information you need.
HomeboySandman.com, StoneStore.com. Actually, I'm on Facebook, Facebook.com/HomeboySandman fan page. So you step there. I'm not the most technological brother, but on the Facebook, you could, you know, check out what's cooking.
There you have it. MCMR Radio, Real Hip Hop, Real Talk. GMS, LR Blitzkrieg, Homeboy Sandman. Thanks for having you. We really appreciate the on-the-road interview.
No question, man. Peace and love to y'all, man. Thanks a lot for having me, man. Thanks a lot for representing.
No doubt. We're going to let you get on with your live shows out there. We're going to rock the music right now. Let's get into this. MCMR Radio, Real Hip Hop, Real Talk.
MCMR.
Hey.
Yo, peace. What up? It's Homeboy Sandman, all right? First of a living break. Kicking it on MCMI Radio. Real hip hop. Real talk. You understand? This is what I'm talking about Friday, 8 to 10. Congratulations on your participation and awareness taking part in this LS. Son, peace.
Change the world. Change the world. Change the world. What's up with all these blonde sisters? I pay my regards to only God's whispers because of them calm, playing cards, boa constrictors. I come from a star in the wrong system. The victors are all victims. Afflictions are strong, trying to solve symptoms. Ahead of the class, walk the path for the last barrels and carry the flag for the past. But the path narrows as tight as they clasped in the slums while they cast arrows. Returning to giants by the sun as it cast shadows. I gather my scars in the same battles. I swim in the same channels. Would rather be slain and enslaved mammals. Or some or the world is a stage with a stage manager. Others the world is a cage, hit a cage rattle, complaining is played as a beige rattle. I step to the plate like I'm paper mantle, the bait of your cave. Add a one, every platoon on a hunt without a flat flannel, whatever buffoon want a front, getting manhandled. Rain is stuck on the way that it drops. The rain is stuck on the way that it drops. The rain is stuck on the way that it drops. The rain is stuck on the way that it drops. The waves gonna welcome the rain. 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 A girl with a fat booty that hardly can act in a whack movie that hardly can rap. Trying to rap to me that hardly can scratch. Trying to mix records that hardly had tracks. Maybe six records, they ain't 86. She looks sick naked, she pouting the lips every 6 seconds. Promoters appraise like they're playing checkers. So who gonna take seconds? The sorcerers wait till they wave senses. We waiting to wave scepters and showing our fangs. Who's afraid of specters? The colors I wave wouldn't say inspections. We ain't even pay attention. We shoulder the weight. Name we're paying mention. Don't run with a dame cause the dame's fetching. We run with a dame cause the profession is playing a position. Not talking about hoes, I'm saying home the kitchen. I'm talking about queens, homie, those different. They roll for the whole mission. My missus ain't submissive, a leader. I don't need her to do my dishes. I need her to do my stitches. The rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The rain isn't stuck on the way that it drops. The waves gonna welcome the rain. 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 Don't ask me why my car regal defies the odds. Seen as odd people, they swarm on the swans, ducklings, and seagulls. I'm bald eagles, nobody is odd. I was born evil, I weathered the storm fetal. My collar deformed, I was born feeble. I made a decision while I'm sitting in the incubator to never cave and to hesitate to show them what I made of. Any plan it was B or C or greater, I see you later. And lady graduated from alpha male to alpha omega. Neighbors, I tell you how to spot a traitor. They answer the ultimatum, they famous for finding something to be afraid of. They buckle corrupted for a buck instead of honest labor. Any buck that needs claiming, they pass it like a hot potato. That type of success is all accountable to sexual favors. They taste the strawberry, the cherry, all the kind of flavors. From lifestyles to Trojan play, lifestyles of the porn. Dangerous form, Lord, it's like playing a foreign language.
Woo!
You hear MCMI Radio, Real Hip. In the building. And he'll be talking about his new project that's about to come out. As always, you can hit us at Twitter on at MCMI Report. MCMIREPORT. You can hit me up at GMS underscore MCMI. You can reach Blitz at LR underscore Blitzkrieg. And that's basically it. Hit up the website if you want to hear the archive show. It will be available for.
From below them and they clocking where I'm throwing like I got it for the lower. Turn this room into a lobby like I got this wide and open. Bottom line is give and go. Riding high, feeling low. Can't nobody dub it, so I'm five alive. Chicken flow. Call me top five. Live and die by the shit I wrote. Bitches swinging by like let me ride her, let me live alone. Fitted on my off day. Basements is all gray. Louis pouch toothpicks. Quotables and Andre. Wrote about the hallway. Flow is in and out. And if they speaking on my sneakers, then they foaming at the mouth. Say I did it for the borough. How we looking? How we looking? Ain't no dancing in that kitchen. If they cooking, then they cooking. Say they handle how you get it with no looking when you looking. Tell them hands is out the window when I'm pushing what I'm pushing. Ah. On it like a replay. Run it like a relay. Do it for where we stay. We be on that. Made it looking easy. Promise when you see me, I do it for where we stay. We be on that. Shorty, now how we play. Took that over easy. Do it for where we stay. We be on that. Do it for where we stay. We be on that. We be on that. We be on that. Day to day, we on it. My day to days is flawless. When they was waiting for Jordans, I vacated for Jordan. My gateway was assaulted. G4s, 10 to go. Google me in 5 World Series show. Really though, clearly though. Hennessy and Spade is all we cheering for. Long as A is with me, I'll be in here till they clear the flow. Playing now or never, well, whoever got it, clear the blow. There we go. Know your way around like you've been here before. Too much of a better thing. Said that if we got it, we would do it up for everything and never be without it. We would do it how they never did and bet you. If you doubt it, they'll be true enough to rep it and forever be about it. About it like a Miller, about it like Barilla. Went Spurs with the ace and poured a bottle out for Dilla. How they serving off the tray? Know we out here full of winners. Got a slurred off the base like this bottom about to kill her. On it like a replay, run it like a relay. Do it for where we stay, we be on that. Made it looking easy. Promise when you see me, I do it for where we stay, we be on that. Shorty, now we play. Took that over easy. Do it for where we stay. We be on that. Do it for where we stay. We be on that. We be on that. We be on that.
Oh, we are.
You sound like some ogre shit, nigga.
You ever feel like somebody watching you? Well, I do, and it's true. The whole world asking who is this animal from the zoo. Out in Brooklyn with the mean 1-2 on the mic. Shit that he kicks and never seen kung fu. His tongue suffers from the machine gun flu. Rapid fire germs, your worm trying to creep on through the rotten apple. If you want, if you rap, he'll have him for lunch or a snack. After his brunch, you will snack crackling crunch in his mouth. But when I chew, I have to spit, cause none of y'all taste good. Your whole gimmick is full of shit. I'm so ready for war. Every lyric I feel a clip to the top of my hip hop block popping it so you trip. Let me ask you, if this is non-profit and would you spit? Do you feel a goosebump when your joint knocking the whip? Do you do this for the love or is this a plot to get rich? As if it is, I hope your album drops in the bottomless pit.
I give your bitch 2 rocks and a stick, 2 socks on my dick. Tell her suck my 2 popsicle sticks. To kill time, I threw rocks off the cliff. To kill rhymes, I spew vomit and spit lines. Watch you admit the bloodline is blue rot while it fit. The blue dream part 2, that's new rot in my zip. Part of the whips, these high fives can't cop me a whip. But if I'm lucky and loot drops in my mid, I do Ozzy Smith flips. still trying to learn these new Copperfield tricks. And all I know is every cowboy steps through lots of bullshit. A blue hospital trip, this new doctor's sick. The flu shot for the hip, a few palms got a chip. I'm at the palms with a chip, with two palms on a chick. White balls, big palms on a tit. Chewing omelets and grits. Don't know how long your watch gonna tick. Electric chair at the table, gotta watch where you sit.
Rock lines just like landmines. Got a bottle gas up, about to get blast up, son. One step to boom, black suits fill the room. Got a gas up, about to get blast up, son.
And I know you're. Name blessed, I'm staging the top performance. Was there from the start of the slaughter. When I go off like a shot from a sword off. This was a cop warning, sort of. Hands off my shit, I off you quick as the black guy dies in a horror flick. This artist spits stars every song I rip. The fans coming out the blue like some farmer crips. I'm from the corner strip, it's flawless. You be an informant, eating lunch with officers, feeding the sergeant. This heart of a martyr shit. These bars I spit, I like folks related fucking. They just come out retarded, kid. I'm guarded with the arm, looking like Cable from the X-Force. You left in a pawn, you a checker's piece on my chessboard. And I am, oh, real heads know I go harder than acid trippers popping the tech, no. Oh, I'm popping the tech bow until the smack of my elbow inside of the top of my chest bone. Check out. Oh, you at the club on the line early in your fresh dress clothes, and the bouncer said, heck no, you were lame. The bullet sleeve exit holes for your X and O's. Don't get a lot of sex, it shows. You were strange, find an exit and go wherever you go. Before my brethren, how you flow, leaking whatever you know. I'm keeping whatever you owe, keep it whatever, whatever. Whenever you don't, you never, you won't know. I keep it forever, forever. Can't stop my fame, I pulled on the gas and I painted a stop sign green. I stop, I lean on niggas, excuse me. I throw elbows, there's no dress code, just cold death flow. And silences that don't echo, I grab your throat and I won't let go. Die.
Got a bottle gas up, about to get blast up, son. One step to boom, black suits fill the room. Got a bottle gas up, about to get blast up, son.
Yeah, 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 they call me Castro, Castro. Bitch, I run a damn show. Find me on that island, mommy want it. Watch that ass go, go, go. Now watch that ass go, go, go. Yeah, 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 they call me Castro, Castro. Don't fuck with Uncle Sam, no. Find me on that island, mommy want it. Watch that ass go, go, go. Now watch that ass go, go.
And I never had respect for a man that'll wait on a chance. Everyone I'm with, they be taking their chances. Never did shit unless I'm paid in advance. I don't give a damn what you label me as. I'm a little bit of leader, a little bit of soldier, a little bit of criminal. And I know they wanna kill an idea, but you can't kill a principle, it's invincible. Roll around like a general, I got camo on and my cut low. Y'all are rolling with gangsters, I'ma be with bankers cause they more cutthroat. Got a couple bolts and my people in it. Yeah. Couple hoes that I'm sleeping with. When they need a thrill, they're hitting me for pills. Like Emilio, we'll run a free clinic. Yeah. Demons all in my past, got greed is out of my judgment. Uh-huh. I ain't washing my hands, not from the blood money I'm touching. It's disgusting. Woo. The one I love ain't never gonna be the one I'm trusting. I can't even trust myself cause I know all the shit I fucked with, right? I roll with Cubans and smoke with they rolling Cubans, and we so over losing, we overdosing on overdoing. Yeah. You know we moving, them Audis are packed. I got my money in the front and my broad in my
leg. Yeah, 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 they call me Castro, Castro. Bitch, I run a damn show. Find me on that island, mommy want it. Watch that ass go, go, go. Now watch that ass go, go, go. Yeah, 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 they call me Castro, Castro. Don't fuck with Uncle Sam, no. Find me on that island, mommy want it. Watch that ass go, go, go. Now watch that ass go, go, go.
Yeah. Hate it or love it, DJ Hayes is taking over.
2009, we present the fabulous What's the Scenario remix. Remix. We have five MCs, one from Jersey, two from New York, one from Detroit, and one from Ohio. And he goes by the name of.
Check it out.
wreck the rap chunk and squad can break like effort. Shit, I was two shots. Many me, my style, friends of me turning it into frown and size. There's no fighting and no skinny jeans allowed. Visual 24 bars, split screen with MCs. No statutory rape, but 16 is a tease. Big word, where Brooklyn at? I show you pussy cats, but Brooklyn at just took the map. No cat fight, but I can write hooks from scratch. My pen's fire when I finish like Kush with rap. Play devil's advocate like Al Pacino in hell. Against me, Arch Chino excel and PH as well. And be treated as if you cheated a casino in Rio, you fell. Louis the Slugger, you and Devo, you see those as well. I might have voice a season crooked on a song with mouth. The hero's on the couch, Mr. Drawn mouth, cheated on her mouth. Verbally undefeated, calling out any rapper to call me out. Just get on a song and shout.
Make it move, yo, move, yo.
On and on and on. Check it out to the break of dawn.
Who's that?
One of them AOK cats. Shout out to my Calo K cats. Follow me. Tune in to Charlamagne. He ain't been on places way back. I flip phrase for pay like Pat Sajak. I can talk and praise, collect props for pay like a stagehand. Rock for pay like a caveman. Home brain, whole brain. Brains of sand. Ixnay switch blades for blades of grass. This kid's strange. He got good grades. He don't even diss gays. They's a cat. Them days in danger, man. I'm a long way from the babe in a manger, man. Those praising the greater grass.
I'm on squeeze with Susa Smash.
Just a wine squeeze from Raven.
Pick up, pick up. To me, brethren speaking. Copyright PH. I sat back and I'm thinking that since I'm on his beat, I'll give a shout to
Men in Styles. Men in Styles.
Hostile heat. From Jersey to Cali, one of a kind. What I write, no man can copy. Truth is, no squad's more powerful than me. I balance my pH and I harness my chi. You're harmless, so please quit acting like you terror. Find me, the only one who can cap me is New Era. You ain't letting no slugs fly, you're a cornball. About as cool as a sitcom tough guy, I know all y'all. So give it a rest, this is the best lineup. So don't dare sign up to come test. You want a 616? Get your money up. You want a 316? Call a buddy up. Ask me to feature, it'll cost you a pretty penny. Cause the skill is deadly. Admit it, you ain't ready. I go line for line with the greatest of all time, which doesn't exist. So I stand alone in my prime, like I drive optimist. You're no optimist, but before you hear my verse, you expect that I drop the hit. Lucian with a blend and rapier sharp wit. Got you like Arch Vibe, that Mexican.
A couple MCs on site doing what they like. Spit venom like snake bites and break mics. My straight sight, see red like brake lights. The barrel leave the larynx smoking like a bass pipe. I move strong with the force of a windstorm. Powerful enough to knock down your wigwam. So what, I'm stocky, I still run 100 meters. Black and white Jordan, my feet got jungle fever. My flow locked, hard as nails. Your flow uneven like bootleg or the guard trail. I don't care, I pipe it broad. You travel with a bunch of squares like the ball. You a lame, you love rainbows and gigapants. I got balls like you chain smoke cigarettes. BKNJO dot in Detroit. Formed on the song to drop bombs on this joint. I write with lightning and rhyme thunder on 278 and a Z28 like Spy Hunter. If I'm in the club, I'm moving to the beat. My cap stay low like I'm shooting for your feet. You're like, what the hell happened? You backpedal rapping. You know I got more bars than downtown Manhattan. You fake dons? I'm a convict like Akon. Chain hand the feet and Cuban links like Raekwon. PH, the new kid on the block. Hammer cock in the spot. Yo, Mark,
it's
tell
the
him
king of the motherfucking jungle. Starve, way more rugged than Ron Gard. Y'all in the midst of the under. So it shouldn't be nobody on your list that I'm under. I'm top notch, these rappers are not hot. Top fly, shot top, make a nigga top drop. Convertible estate, have his chance of survival. Smaller than the movie Murder Was the Case. Homie come and eat a burger with the A's. Make soup out of any of the turtles in my race. I shut rappers down like they GM. And I get money every day like per diem. He got a problem, I wouldn't wanna be him. On a shirt, how you gon' see him? We in the last days of time. Blast case of time. Blast for his mind. This Detroit state of mind.
SJ, Chandler, baby. The most relevant, most benevolent. Product of the curb, but the words down heaven sent. Fuck them other words, I mean my words wow better than the words they was peddling. I worded how they never did. I'm word for word, the wordiest of the veterans that's still in his rookie stage. I'm penning a book a day, I'm giving them look of ways. Pushed away, picking rolls, hinges off the door when I'm on. So yeah, I'm kicking flows. 10 deep hoodies and vests, I sell ladders with the line so you can climb if you looking to catch them. 16s for the fiends, you pay me to throw them raps. 20 on a dollar, like if we stole it and stole it back. The most anticipated, they itching to play it, but they good with the waiting, cause they know what I'm creating is straight. Prop Joe on the bus down, I cut grounds, the newest member of Duck Down.
I'm a heavy distributor of bars, man, Wallet and Tarzan. Marty Mar got him like, aw, damn. Tore back, jotting his jaw again. I'm back in the beast in the bars again. I'm like a drunk back at the bar. throttle head. No intervention to AA or Narcotics Anonymous. Born to bully, to beat, and then body it. And I ain't even reached my prime yet. Niggas feel like I'm Optimus. They witness my opulence, occupation, new hands and ambience. The lyrics couldn't make it more obvious. My 16 sentences penned in the penmanship. I make the pupils pull their pencils in. See, I went from the star student to the leader of the unit. Niggas love the way I do it. Now they moving with my movement. What now? You fuckers is fuck now. Okay. Ain't nothing else to do but duck down.
Listen, too hard for white linens. Straight, no white denim. You like white women that listen to Life Jennings. I'm Black Knight Venom with the white stripe in them. Black Levi's with a knife to strike, get them. I'm a gun boy, chewing your dome, nigga. Dumb boy, I won Troy funeral home, nigga. Listen, I'm smooth like Romello on Sugar Hill. You with John on Hunts Point, you be with the hookers chill. Fake chains on rap niggas be looking real. Bullshitting and tripping like I just took a pill. You do coach bags, I do kush bags. You a douchebag, I'm the true fag. Share greedy, y'all niggas get scared easy. Queer like multiple pairs of Air Yeezys. Illest nigga in Bucktown, I snuff clowns. SK, Torre, Sean P, duck down. Motherfucker.
Y'all talk about bodies, but you will not kill an ant. My skill is ant. We pull a nigga like a stamp. Caliber is other caliber, now you be damned. When I operate, a crowd will copulate. My game will make a moon populate into a fifth. This is soccer hate. Piece of logistics. Slump your squad of misfits. They all get their wrist slit. Blast your ass if you insist it. Leave no trace, so it's no trace for ballistics. Turn your soul and body to statistics. In particular, I got that extracurricular. Squad in this ass, you could be sticking ya. Slipping and kicking ya. Harass your police commissioner. Don't like chicks when he's talking about. I need conditioner. That shit's dead in it. Niggas with a morticianer. A janazza. Up in your flesh like plasma. Take away your last breath when you got asthma. To me, bad lose down at the plaza. Hip hop extravaganza. Tell your man I swamp him with a stanza. Know who's the boss, not Tony Danza. My force not green, but the force is obscene. P.O. took the piss test and came out not clean. Brody with my man Miz moves to Hakeem. My squad from Deuce 4 up the West Oak Lane. All the way to Tacawana and Frankfurt, they know the name. It's like that. M.L. Tant.
Cali Hop Style.
Before we was in the mess, I was only went down your block since you was in the west. Don't go thinking now, these vows, cause I'm a gentleman. All I gave was a smile, not a child, said it's legitimate. I'm not even saying our hang is insignificant, but I ain't signing any dots in the form of certificates. We ain't even kicking before a couple incidents. I was trying to tell if y'all was an emphasis. Yeah. Yo, what you want from me? Who was saying this nation's indivisible? I don't care what they say, they pay cash is miserable. Chillin' while I'm chillin' in jail, so take a visit too. They was put there by cops who can't pass the physical. Ain't no begging for it, barging in your living room. Run up on your fan while your baby drinking infamil. Any day around the way, these things are typical. Everything we say is in vain, the days are biblical.
That's true. But hey, yo, what you want?
What you want?